this. Music hits me so hard, makes me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I to mind and too hype to feel good when you know you're down? A super dope homeboy from the Oak Town.
That's it, folks. Don't touch this. Get your hands off. You know, forget the Trump travel ban, the bear market. Bernie Sanders is going to stay in the race. Harvey Weinstein got 23 years. Forget all this stuff. Tom Hanks has the Wuhan coronavirus. Wow. Welcome to Bernie and Sid. I mean, this is we are living in historic times right now, an historic moment in time right this minute, this week, this day. The front page of the New York Post, world turned upside down. It's incredible. It really is. All kinds of things canceled, suspended, postponed, all these things. Of course, the St. Patrick's Day parade, we talked about it yesterday. Governor Cuomo actually stepped up on this St. Pat's parade, usurping, it seems to me anyway, a Bill de Blasio before he, Bill de Blasio dithered and Mario, excuse me, Andrew Cuomo made the decision. And the NBA, of course, suspending, not canceling, Sidney, suspending their season. They're going to see what happens. It was the Utah Jazz, some dude, Rudy Gobert. You know who he is.
Rudy Gobert, their center, their best player, by the way. Well, him and Donovan Mitchell, one of the better players in the league. And, yes, he's got it. They say suspended, but it's kind of like when they say, well, you know, Liz Warren suspended her campaign. Well, it went away.
No, we don't know. Listen, the season, as you know, goes damn near to the end of June.
Yeah.
So they could come back in about a month. Who knows? We'll see what happens, how this disease or this virus progresses. Now, the New York Knicks did play the Jazz within the past 14 days, yep. So they are self-quarantining, the Knicks.
I know.
The Knicks, which is probably...
I got news for you. They've been self-quarantined all season.
Let me just tell you, there's two silver linings for the Knicks and Joe Biden on this.
What's that?
They don't have to come out. They can hide. Right. Hide and Biden is a strategy they wanted to follow, and now he doesn't have to do events. He doesn't have to come out. He will have to. He's going to debate Bernie Sanders on Sunday.
But there'll be nobody in the
right. Make it worse for him because he won't be able. They won't be able to. You know, if he stops mid sentence and there's no crowd there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to reflect poorly. But still, the fact that he doesn't have to come out and do events. He opens his mouth. Every time he opens his mouth, he sounds like, he sounds like he's very feeble and old. Let's put it that way. To be kind.
Yeah.
I got hairy legs.
Now, listen, you're right about the Knicks. I was just literally on Channel 5 seconds ago with Kayla Mamalek. I'll be on. They interviewed me this morning coming off the train, so I'll be on Channel 5, Fox, Good Day New York all morning long. Just my clips with Kayla Mamalek. Now, yeah, if you're a Knicks fan, who cares? Even if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, they're the 7th seed right now. They'd make the playoffs. But if I'm LeBron James and I'm in my 30s and I'm the number one seed in the Western Conference with the Lakers or the Greek Freak in Milwaukee, the number one seed in the East, I'm not so happy this morning. Knickerbockers, that's different. They don't make the playoffs. But if I'm a 1 seed or a 2 seed and the playoffs are like a month away, I'm not so happy this morning.
If it saves you from getting the coronavirus or something like that, or you're saving people, I mean, maybe these guys are a little more noble than you think. Maybe they're not as selfish. Now,
you're probably right.
Hey, listen, let me point this out about Tom Hanks and nobody else. I haven't heard this anywhere.
And his wife, Rita Wilson.
And Rita Wilson. They're down in Australia. They're doing this Elvis movie. He was supposed to play Colonel Tom Parker, or he's going to play. I don't know. But he's 63 years old. And one of the high risk factors for this coronavirus, you have people with lung issues, people with heart disease, old people, and the fourth high risk factor, diabetes.
Ooh.
Tom Hanks has type 2 diabetes.
Oh, boy.
Don't you remember that from a couple of years ago?
I do, yes.
He's got type 2 diabetes, and now he has coronavirus.
Oh, my God.
And I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anybody say that. I remember that from a couple of years ago. And the president, of course, last night. Michael Goodwin, flying colors for the Prez, is the headline of his little piece in the New York Post. But anyway, the upshot of what happened last night, among other things, but the big news was suspending travel from Europe.
Oh, it's two also. You got to get back. I mean, for example, we have a trip planned, my wife, to go to Ireland on March 27th for one of the two conventions they have for dyspraxia, which is a disability my son has. She can get to Ireland. She can't get back.
That's what I'm saying.
So you can't go.
You can go. You can go.
You want to stay for 30 days?
It's your choice. You can go. That's not been suspended. She can still travel.
She can go, right.
But however, there are exemptions for people who are lawful residents of this and their spouses and siblings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the UK, of course, is another exemption. The UK, I saw a list of countries where the travel is banned from coming there to here. Mm-hmm. I did not see Ireland on that list.
You didn't see it?
I did not see it. And a lot of people mistakenly think that Ireland is part of the UK. Maybe it was the news, the particular newscast I was watching, that is not aware that Ireland, no, is not part of the UK. I don't know. It was very interesting, though. I did
so maybe
not
the
see,
trip is not canceled.
I did not see Ireland on the list.
Gotcha.
Just FYI. But the president, he stuck it to the EU. He stuck it to the EU wisely, and he was patting himself on the back at the same time, very, very passively, passive-aggressive. He said that Europe didn't restrict travel from China like we did, and as a result, you saw the headlines in Drudge in the last couple of days. Angela Merkel! She says that about 70% of Germans, ultimately, in the end, will have the coronavirus. And so I'm sure that was part of the influence the president's decision.
70%. Wow.
70% of Germans. That was the blaring headline for 2 days. And they misled you, Drudge did. It put 70% will get coronavirus. And then you click on it, and it was Angela Merkel talking about Germans, not us, but
right,
whatever.
Right.
So that influenced his decision, no doubt. A bunch of other things as well. I mean, it's just, these are amazing times. The NCAA, my guess is that right now it's limited fans.
They're going to get rid of all
They're
of them.
They're going to stop it, right?
That was another thing we discussed this morning. The Big East tournament going on right downstairs. In fact, St. John's got a huge win over Georgetown last night. And that was one of the questions she asked. And I said, I do think that they will not allow fans in. Right now, it's limited. And I got to tell you, for schools like St. John's and Villanova and Seton Hall, may not be a big deal. But if you go to a school like Creighton, for example, they had a great year in the Big East. Or Butler, for example. Coming to Madison Square Garden, seeing the fans and feeling that energy is so exciting. And they're going to take that away.
Yeah.
I can't believe what's going on. I mean, there's somebody at my wife's building. She works on 49th Street who has it. She works on the 17th floor. He works on the 14th floor. She doesn't want to go to work. And I got to believe that here at Madison Square Garden, there's got to be a bunch of people, a bunch that have this virus or have had it. And you and I are coming to work every single day.
And you're taking the subway down.
Yeah, I took the subway this morning.
But here's the thing. Be mature. Be prudent. Be prepared. Wash your hands. Practice social distancing. Be smart. Or we'll kill you.
We'll kill you. That's right.
We will come and kill you.
Yeah.
Act rationally. Just take it easy. Preparedness over panic is the upshot. And I would say also, too, that the sniping on the part of Schmuck Schumer and Punk in a Pantsuit Pelosi, the president goes up there and gives this speech. He's trying to do everything he can, right or wrong, whatever. He might make a bad decision. He might make a good. He's just trying, doing whatever he can do to just, you know, instill calm. And prepare as well for what's coming. And these idiots put out a statement, these two mutts of Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer, you know, just, again, political sniping, that we should throw their asses in Guantanamo for the duration of this public health crisis, because that is just the most despicable thing. I mean, everybody's trying to come together, but these losers, I mean, they're not. And I would point this out as well. Just take it easy, pump the brakes a little, let's not panic, is that this, that there was one person at the CPAC conference that had the coronavirus, right?
Yes.
There's one person, and everybody freaked out, a bunch of congressmen self-isolated, Ted Cruz, a bunch of others. Nobody at the CPAC has turned up positive, nobody. That was 2 weeks ago. And nobody has tested positive since. So now I know Dr. Anthony Fauci said yesterday, it is one of the problems is it is almost 10 times more, A, lethal, and B, more contagious than the regular flu. It hangs in the air, and it stays, the stuff that comes out of you, it stays on the surface 3 hours, at least 3 hours, something like that. And so it's 10 times more contagious, but that CPAC thing is very interesting, that nobody else has come down yet with a case of coronavirus after coming into contact with an actual victim of coronavirus. That's, to me, that says, take it easy. I mean, maybe it's not. Who knows? We don't know. There are a lot of questions out there. We just don't know.
The question is are we overreacting?
Oh, there's no question we are. Come on.
We are, right?
There's no question. That's exactly what I said on Channel 5 just now. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I mean, you got to start to show me, as morbid and brutal as this is going to sound, you got to show me a lot of dead bodies and kids. You're shutting down elementary schools all over the city.
You know what it is?
The kids aren't even getting sick from this thing. Oh, they're not dying, I should
say. And kids especially, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they're shutting down elementary schools every single day. Now, look, you don't want to try it. Maybe you can mutate. I don't know. We're going to talk to Sanjay Gupta again today. But they're treating this disease as if every age group is in peril. As if everybody who gets it dies. As if you walk outside, you're going to get it. I mean, it's really unbelievable.
And you know what the average death rate, the average age of the people who die from coronavirus is?
It's like 65.
No, it's not 65. It's not 70. It's not 75. It's 80.
I know. It's
80.
It's 80.
So you know what it is? A lot of it is CYA, fear of getting sued. Schools, the NBA. No, the NBA doesn't want to get sued by some fan or some attendant working in the locker room. They're afraid. I think this is at the bottom of why all these things are getting canceled. St. Patrick's Day Parade. They're a fear of getting sued. And I would just say that the only thing we have to fear, Sidney,
is fear itself.
That's right.
Unless things get worse. Look, the next 30 days, you know, you talk about maybe the NBA will be back in a month. I don't think so, because I really believe in the next 30 days, it's going to get a lot worse, a lot worse. Now, come May, end of April, you know, the warm weather comes. Maybe we start to see some things subside. But I do believe the next 20 to 30 days, things are going to get brutal.
They're going to get worse in that the numbers are going to go up.
That's
However,
right.
The fact still remains is that of the people who get coronavirus, 99.9% of them are going to get better.
That's right. In 4 or 5 days.
Right. And that's why
ridiculous.
When you say a lot worse, I mean, yes, numbers-wise, you're going to see that. But again, it's not fatal. It's not, you know, it's not a death sentence at all. It's the flu. It's essentially a flu that shortness of breath,
yeah.
And you cough, and maybe you'll feel weak and tired like Tom Hanks did. God bless him. And then you'll get better, unless you have a pre-existing condition or you're 80 years old.
All right, we got a great guest list today. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League. This guy is always terrific, and he'll have his thoughts on the cancellation of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. Of course, it's Thursday. That means Bill O'Reilly's going to be here. And then in the 9 o'clock hour, you're going to want to hear this. Dr. Sanjay Gupta, questions for Sanjay. In fact, throughout today's show, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you've got questions for Bernie and I, for Sanjay Gupta, personal questions,
or
feel free to call us. We're not going to ask them, but feel free to call us.
And let us know. Do you think we're overreacting? Or what's
no, we're underreacting, you and I.
Tell us what's going on in your hood, things that you noticed. I did notice there's a big piece about how super spreaders can infect people, a lot of people, especially in the gyms in the tri-state area. Well, of course, around the country as well, but we're hurting the tri-state area.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out last night about gyms and SoulCycle and all these workout classes and things that we do and I do and you do on a daily basis to keep us sane if, in fact, they're going to be open or not. Who knows? These are crazy times. And where do you want to be? With Bernie and Sid.
Sometimes.
Been away. Haven't seen you in a while. How've you been? Have you changed your style, and do you think that we've grown up differently? Don't seem the same. Seems you've lost your feel for me. So let's leave it alone.
Tell them, Dave, there ain't no good guys, there ain't no bad guys.
'Cause we can't see eye to eye.
Just you and me.
There ain't no good guy.
And yes.
There ain't no bad guy.
We just disagree.
There's only you and me, and we just disagree.
Not in this case, actually. Bernie and Sid, we agree wholeheartedly. This is a huge overreaction to this coronavirus. And we've got it all covered for you today. Three great guests. Thank you, Dave Mason. One of my favorite songs. I believe this is the 70s, but you need Dave Labrosi for that. He can tell you the year it was written,
he'll
the year it was
wrong.
Released.
He thinks he can tell
Well,
you.
He thinks he can.
Right?
He's good.
Special thanks again to my friend Kayla Mamalek, locally here on Channel 5, Good Day New York. She's running a piece all morning long on the coronavirus, what it's done to the NBA, the Big East tournament, which is going on right now downstairs. St. John's, a big win over Georgetown last night. And the St. Paddy's Day Parade. I'm in the piece all morning long, so if you're watching Channel 5, you will see that. But one other story outside the coronavirus, which also involves a friend of ours, which I was really surprised to see this morning. I knew the stores were having some difficulty. I knew that stores had closed recently, some of them. But the latest news is our friend Mitch Modell. There's a huge Modell's. I mean, a huge Modell's right across the street from us, from Madison Square Garden. I want to say it's on, is it 33rd
and 7th? Between 32nd and 34th? No, yeah, excuse me, 33rd and 34th.
It's right downstairs.
Right downstairs. Yeah. It's a huge Modell's store. Anyway, the news is this morning that Mitchell has, or Modell's, I should say, filed for bankruptcy, and he is closing all 115 remaining stores, including the big one right down the block.
Wow.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's where I take my kids to get their sneakers. Wow.
That's where I have every jersey I wear.
Thank you, Jeff Bezos.
You're right about that. Yeah. You're right about
not
that.
Not only is he Harvey Weinstein's friend, he's screwing
Mitchell Modell.
Yes, all the Modell consumers. So, you know, it's awful. It's terrible. But I patronize it, so what am I talking about?
You patronize Amazon.
Yeah.
So do I, but I also go to Mitchell's place anytime I need a jersey, any sporting stuff.
No, it's good to know it's there, right?
Yeah,
you can go browse around, buy this, buy that.
Right. You go to if I get a Yankee ticket or a Met ticket, I run into Modell's and buy a shirt or a jersey.
There's one, not only right downstairs, there's one right on 6th Avenue, just down the block. I mean, they're all over the place.
Yeah, there's one two blocks from my house. Anyway, he's got 115 stores, and they're all closing.
Damn.
He's shutting them all down. That's a big business story, actually, today. One other thing, the same Patrick's Day parade. We played that cut from Bill de Blasio yesterday, but he said that, you know, outdoors you get the breeze and, you know, it's not really airborne, this virus, so he doesn't really see a reason to cancel the parade. It didn't take an hour. And what comes across my phone, but then Jill, you saw conflicting reports.
Did you see that?
Yeah, you're like, there's two different newspapers in town. One says it's canceled, one says it's not. But
Daily News said not canceled, and then New York Post said it's canceled.
I mean, there's always confusion early on, but we know now that it is canceled.
Well, I would say this. If something comes across my phone that something is canceled, I'm going to believe it, because everything is getting canceled.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, what's left?
I agree with the cancellations. I'm starting to panic.
You do?
Yeah, I am starting to get worried. I don't want to come into work anymore.
But you're not panicking because there is any evidence out there that you would be in trouble. You wouldn't be.
Well, we don't know this.
We do know this.
No, in Italy, they're saying that now, you know, people in their 40s and 50s are starting to get sick.
Yeah,
really
sick, yes, but nobody's dying.
In the ICU. There.
No. Nobody's dying.
So, I don't know.
No. Well, no, you do know. We do know. We've got statistics.
What we do know is it is 10 times more contagious than the flu.
That the
bacteria, whatever it is.
Viral.
The virus hangs in the air. And if it's on a surface, it stays there for about 3 hours. Both.
And there's no symptoms for the first 5 days.
We do know that, but to shut down the whole country, that's the question. Is that an overreaction? I mean, some people will get it, some people won't, and if the people that do get it, most will get better.
Yeah.
All you had to do was tell people who are susceptible, diabetes, heart problems.
Respiratory issues. Yeah, like
and
my son.
Old people.
Yeah.
Don't go to the parade. You could have just said that, and you would have been good to go.
Well, there's an article out there that says that if they would have shut down the country during the Spanish flu, they would have saved millions and millions
of lives.
Well,
there's no question about it. You're right. All those flus. But it doesn't seem like this one attacks the same group.
That Spanish flu had a higher mortality rate. Dr. Anthony Fauci said yesterday that this Chinese coronavirus has 10 times more higher mortality rate than the regular flu, which has a 0.1% mortality rate. This has a 1% mortality rate, a lot less than the 3-4% that you've been hearing about, because a lot of these cases are not being reported. People get it, get better, and go back to work.
Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League, will be here. Bill O'Reilly's going to be here. And again, folks, have any questions? Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN, in the 9 o'clock hour. All right here on Bernie and Sid.
Bernie and Sid.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app. Yeah, Harvey Weinstein got 23 years in prison. Artie Aydala actually was in the post sentencing press conference. He was saying that this is unfair. This is terrible. We'll get to that later.
But he wanted the 5 years. That was the minimum sentence. 5 years, buddy.
He says that the average for these charges is 8 years, and that Harvey's getting a bad rap because everybody hates him.
Good,
and that's not fair. So anyway, that's Artie. And also, Bernie Sanders, he came out. He says he's going to stay in the race. He's going to debate Quid Pro Joe Sunday night in Phoenix. And by the way, that skunk, Bernie Sanders, he came right out of the box on a day when we're trying, you know, we're in the middle of a public safety health crisis. And he starts, this is the first thing he says, President Trump is a racist. President Trump is a pathological. I'll get to that later. All that stuff later.
But, and by the way, the reason this is in Phoenix is, of course, Tuesday night. That will be the end of Bernie Sanders when he gets just murdered in the state of Florida. That'll be it.
Yeah.
But one of the states, along with Florida, Illinois, and Ohio, is Arizona.
Yes.
That primary is in Arizona. That's why the debate is in Phoenix coming up.
He said, as I mentioned yesterday, he's essentially won. He's pulled the Democrats and Joe Biden as well. There's not much daylight between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders on the issues. He's for open borders, health care for illegal immigrants, all these crazy, wacky, untenable things is Joe Biden. So he's been pulled to the left. But Sanders said it yesterday. We've won the ideological debate, but we're losing the electability debate. And so he's acknowledging that, yeah, this is probably going to be his last stand. But whatever, that's all been eclipsed, of course, by this coronavirus stuff. The president last night, prime time, from the Oval Office, he gave the speech, and this is what he said.
We have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. We made a life-saving move with early action on China. Now we must take the same action with Europe. We will not delay. I will never hesitate to take any necessary steps to protect the lives, health, and safety of the American people. This is not a financial crisis. This is just a temporary moment of time that we will overcome together as a nation and as a world.
And to his last point, the financial crisis part of it, in the past, historically, these virus scares, the market usually does tank, and then the comebacks are sharp and steep.
Let's hope so for him.
Supposedly. Well, we'll see. Hope so for all of us.
He started at 18. He got to nearly 30. Another brutal day yesterday. Lost 1,500 points. Now it's down to like 23.
Right.
And in the next month, if this continues and gets worse, like we both think it will, he could be right back where he started.
It's possible. But then again, of course, then you have July, and you have August, and you have September. And just at the right time, perhaps, thinking optimistically. And on the travel initiative, he did pat himself on the back, and he should. Because while Congress was doing squat, which I mentioned yesterday, in fact, they shut down Congress to conduct this witch hunt, a total, complete political witch hunt on the basis of nothing. They shut Congress down while this disease was spreading through China and then the United States and getting closer to the United States. While these guys were trying to convict this president and oust him, the disease was spreading. And while he was on trial, while he was the defendant defending himself, he implemented the Chinese travel ban and appointed a task force while he was fighting himself, for his existence in the Senate. The president actually did that, saving a lot of lives. Now, last night after the speech from the Oval Office, the fake news of fools, all of them, you'll hear a bunch of them here. At the end, you'll hear Howard Dean and Joy Reid. You're not going to believe these people. Take a listen.
It's exposing a real lack of leadership on a federal level.
We don't really have confidence that he, even after 3 years as president, even grasps that element of the job.
We're crippled by now having exactly no leadership at the top whatsoever.
Howard, believe that it's real. Like, don't believe that it's a hoax, even if an official, let's say, government tells you. We should note his favorite news channel has been, it's echoing him.
Who's saying it's a hoax? Who? Joy Reid. I mean, you took Bernie Sanders called Trump a pathological liar. Hey, it was Joe Biden, by the way, who said he got arrested in South Africa, who said he got 3 degrees from Harvard and that he was at the top of his. Who's the pathological liar? Joy Reid. Nobody's calling it a hoax. And she just said that. And that's your fake news, fools. That's just a small sample of these people not uniting and, trying to bring America together as the president did last night. Jim Acosta on CNN, Trump's favorite CNN foil, he said this.
The president referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. That I think was interesting because as I was talking to sources earlier this evening, one of the points that the president wanted to make tonight, wanted to get across to Americans, is that this virus did not start here, but that they're dealing with it. Now, why the president would go as far as to describe it as a foreign virus, that is something we'll also be asking questions about. But it should be pointed out that Stephen Miller, who is an immigration hardliner, who advises the president, is one of his top domestic policy advisors and speechwriters, was a driving force in writing this speech. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia, to use that kind of term in this speech.
Chris. How do you like that?
He's a moron.
It
is a foreign virus. We didn't.
Of course it didn't
start here. It started in China. Those bastards, they continue to screw us every single day. So it's a foreign virus, Jim Acosta. It didn't start in Brooklyn, you moron.
It is the Wuhan virus. Now, listen, there were the fake news, same fake news people who are now calling the president and did back then, early on, calling him a racist and a xenophobe for this Chinese travel ban. The same fake news people were calling it the Chinese coronavirus. This is them from early February. Listen to it. You got Mika Brzezinski, you got few other people, the voices who you'll recognize.
The Wuhan coronavirus has now surpassed the 2003 SARS outbreak.
The first U.S. case of Chinese coronavirus was confirmed at one of her hospitals.
Inside that building is the world's first lab-grown copy of the Wuhan coronavirus outside mainland China.
The Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people.
The death toll from the Wuhan coronavirus spiked today.
The Chinese virus, the coronavirus that is worrying the whole world.
This comes as the Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people.
So the next to last was Sanjay Gupta calling it the Chinese coronavirus, and the last one was Mika Brzezinski. And now Jim Acosta, he's a colleague of Sanjay Gupta, he's essentially saying that Sanjay Gupta was xenophobic?
Yeah.
Is that what they got to get on the same page, these morons. I will say this. The president got a lot of praise from a lot of good people. Senator Kennedy from Louisiana last night. He said the right things. Listen to Senator Kennedy.
I listened to the president's speech tonight. Here's my conclusion. He's on it. He's on this like wet on water. He's on it in terms of public safety, and he's on it in terms of the economy. I know people are scared. It's okay to be scared. It's human nature to fear the unknown. But you know how Americans deal with their fears? We face them. Of those who get the virus, 99% of them are going to be fine. Of those who get the virus, 80% of them are not going to even know they have the virus or aren't going to be sick enough to have to go to the hospital. If you do get sick enough and have to go to the hospital, we've got the finest healthcare delivery system in the Milky Way.
Bingo. Everybody, take it easy and stop with the sniping, the political sniping. This is a time to come together.
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, come on.
I know that, but I mean,
it's going to get worse than political sniping now.
You heard the Governor Gavin Newsom the other day. He wasn't sniping.
He's one guy, right?
That's right.
Well, we need more than.
Well, maybe we can take a cue from Governor Newsom, who is as left as they get and political. But at a time like this, and it is true. I mean, in the past, both left and right have sniped. Obama got hit because he delayed 6 months before declaring a national emergency with the swine flu after 1,000 people. He did get hit for it, but justifiably, 1,000 people had died already.
Sure.
George Bush, 43.
Katrina.
Well, it's Katrina, but he had the SARS virus.
Yeah, he didn't take a beating for that.
John Kerry was using it in the campaign in 2004.
He did, but it wasn't like Katrina was Kanye West yelling and screaming, George Bush doesn't care about black people.
That's true.
You'll never forget that.
That's true. But look, it should be a 9/11 moment is what it should be, but it's not. So they canceled the St. Patrick's Day parade, and they suspended the NBA season so far. Tommy Smythe, remember our friend?
The soccer guy.
He's always calling. He's sitting there, and he is the reporter on the scenes, all dressed up with his green and the green tie or whatever, Tommy Smythe. He said this about canceling the St. Patrick's Day parade.
You have to be okay with it. You have to listen to reason. You can't just go out and bull your way up the avenue and say, hey, we're going to do it whether you like it or not.
That's reasonable.
That's fine. He actually does work for NBC, and he does that parade. So he
does it every year.
Well, does he get paid now?
Well, that's a good question. If he's getting paid, then he's good to go.
Right.
No, he has a reason not to be bitter.
I mean, if you're an NBA player and you're paid to play 80-something games and you played 65, and they suspend the season, and that suspension leads to a cancellation, which is likely, not definite, but likely, you still get paid your full season salary, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Same thing, like if they close down the radio station, you and I will get paid.
We're getting paid, right?
Hey, but listen to Mark Cuban on the NBA suspension, what he said.
We told them to be very vigilant, that this is not a situation where the season's ended, go do what you're going to do. We expect you to stay in Dallas, and the NBA told us that we'll continue to practice and do rehab and continue to do work. Okay. This is people's lives at stake. This isn't about basketball. This isn't about the Mavericks. This isn't about, you know, when do we start or do we start or how do we start. This is a pandemic, a global pandemic, where people's lives are at stake.
So another guy that understands the gravity of the situation. But the question still remains, are we really overreacting, or is this too much? Is this a cover, a CYA thing? I mentioned the CPAC. You had one guy got it. And since then, nobody at the CPAC tested positive for coronavirus. So who the hell knows? 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222 on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Check this out. If you're talking about it, then so are we.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. And look, we have a stellar show, folks. We got all the facts, all the information you need to know about this, the coronavirus, nationally, internationally, locally. We have Bill Donahue is coming up from he's the president of the Catholic League. He's got some thoughts on the cancellation of the St. Patrick's Day parade. And, of course, Big Bad Bill O'Reilly, he's got the big picture in mind as well. The political sniping, how the president's doing, what he's not doing, perhaps. Who knows? Bill O'Reilly calls it as he sees it. And Dr. Sanjay Gupta, chief medical correspondent at CNN, he will be with us in the 9 o'clock hour, answering any questions that we have, that you have. As a matter of fact, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I hear a vaccine is in the works, coming soon. We'll get to all that on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Information you need, opinions you trust. The 50,000-watt beacon of freedom. Talk Radio 77 WABC, New York. News, weather, and traffic now.
A ban on travel, 45 overcast skies. I'm Deborah Valentine. Now what's trending on 77 WABC and WABCRadio.com.
Keep new cases from entering our shores. We will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days.
President Trump announcing travel from 26 European nations to the U.S. suspended for 1 month due to the viral pandemic. It does not affect Americans and green card holders. The U.K. not affected by the ban. The president criticizing European nations for not acting more quickly to contain the virus.
As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe.
The president has directed agencies to provide unspecified financial relief for workers who are ill, quarantined, or caring for others. The tax deadline is also being extended. Governor Cuomo has updated the number of COVID-19 cases in the state of New York.
Westchester, you see again, 13 new cases. That is probably the single most troubling point in the state right now. 12 new ones in New York City, 28 Nassau. 212 statewide.
And 3 cases in Connecticut, 23 cases in New Jersey. The governor announced last night New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade is being postponed. The parade president is Tommy Smith, and Kiernan Madden is council general for Ireland, both at last night's parade gala.
You know, you have to be logical, and you have to have the safety of the people of New York in mind.
We're in the middle of a big public health emergency right now. I would certainly say that if it's postponed for the right reasons, then you move on, and whether they look for the date for it in the next few months.
A date will be announced for the parade, the largest in the world, with 200,000 marchers and over 2 million spectators. Fans reacting to the NBA's decision to suspend its season.
Fans frustrated. It's March. Basketball should be ramping up. But quite the opposite. It's come to a screeching halt in the NBA. These fans unsure if the league made the right move.
It's too early to tell. I'm not sure if it is or if it's not. But as of right now, it seems like that's what they want to do, so they're going to do it.
Honestly, I think it's an overreaction.
And after the last game of the night, Denver at Dallas, fans who are usually told over the PA when the next game is had a less specific goodbye.
Please drive safe, be safe, we'll see you soon.
Clayton Neville, Dallas.
Utah Jazz player Rudy Gobert has tested positive for the virus. The New York Knicks, they've been told to self-quarantine. WABC News Time, 703, traffic, sports, and weather next.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. Mark Levin, entertaining and informative.
Bernie Sanders in Detroit today. Trump's coronavirus decisions are based on protecting the wealthy, not science. John Brennan on MSNBC. I doubt Trump is psychologically capable to put the country's well-being first. Have you ever seen anything like that in your life? But it's in the best interests of MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post to just keep hyping this.
The Great One, Mark Levin, weeknights 6 to 9, before John Batchelor, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Since we are a people of faith and we believe in helping our communities by answering their tough questions,
please email Ask the Rev and the Rabbi at WABCRadio.com.
Ask the Rev and the Rabbi at WABCRadio.com.
And if you missed any of the show, find the podcast at WABCRadio.com and the all-new WABC Radio app.
Tough questions go to the Rev, the easy ones go to the Rabbi.
Listen to the Rev and the Rabbi every Sunday morning at 8, right here on 77 WABC.
Dr. Christopher Calipe is board certified in family medicine, anti-aging medicine, and has a fellowship certification in stem cell therapy. Dr. Calipe's comprehensive approach by evaluating all the causes of illness and taking into consideration a full understanding of each patient is what has made him a pioneer in the field of stem cell therapy. Schedule your consultation today in Garden City or Plainview, New York. Call 516-794-0404. That's 516-794-0404. Or visit drcalipe.net.
WABC News Time, 7:05. It's time for Joe Nolan with WABC Traffic and Transit.
All right, Deb, over an hour delay to the upper level of the George Washington Bridge, 30 to the lower. A couple of earlier problems now have been cleared. New England Thruway southbound just out of Connecticut. We've got an accident. The left lane is out. If you're on 287 across Westchester, an accident over by the Hutch. The right lane is out. Then outbound on the Gowanus, the Prospect crash, right lane out. We had a stall on Route 22 in New Jersey, Meeker Avenue. That would be in Newark. And then southbound Route 15 coming down to Route 80, a collision. Jersey Transit now 60-minute delays on the Raritan Valley line. They had earlier signal problems. An alternate side is in effect. The support of service Lowe's. Do it right. Save 5% every day by shopping at Lowe's, in-store or online. Save 5% on eligible purchases just by using your Lowe's Advantage card. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. I'm Joe Nolan from the Traffic Center on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Sports overtime wins for the New York Knicks over Atlanta, 136-131. And in the NHL, Colorado over the Rangers, 3-2. Now your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. Mostly cloudy skies today. The high is 50. Showers this evening. Rain after midnight. Patchy fog rolls in. Temperatures rising overnight to 52. Friday, rain, possibly an afternoon thunderstorm. The high 66. And windy afternoon wind gusts to 30 miles per hour. Right now, 45 overcast skies. That is your forecast from the Ramsey Subaru Weather Center. The weather report brought to you by NJ Diet. Using hair, saliva, DNA testing, and blood work, NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you will shed up to 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. With 11 locations in the tri-state area and Pennsylvania. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET or log on to njdiet.com. Next update at 7:30 and 24/7 coverage at the all-new WABCRadio.com.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC.
And you ask me what I want this year.
7:07, Thursday morning. This song is Better Days. We could use those, huh? Better Days by the Goo Goo Dolls.
Better days. 'cause I don't need boxes.
So you know the big stories today, of course, the coronavirus continues to be the biggest story in the nation and around the world. President Trump did speak last night, did a fine job, I thought, and did announce the travel ban coming back from Europe. But not every country from Europe. In fact, my wife has a trip planned to go to Ireland, where they hold one of the two major conferences. They hold one in London and one in Ireland on dyspraxia, which is a disability my son Gabriel has. She's set to go to Ireland late March, and it is not on the list, Ireland. So
it is not.
No.
That doesn't mean
that it's still going to happen in 3 weeks.
Even though it's part of the EU.
Right.
They've partnered with the UK in regards to travel.
Right.
So whatever it is, it's a unique exception.
Right.
Ireland is not on the list. But
right.
People mistakenly think Ireland is part of the UK. It is not.
Right.
Northern Ireland is. The Republic of Ireland, it's a country on its own. All
there
right?
you have it.
Folks,
right.
Stop calling it the UK.
Calm down. So that's what happened last night with President Trump. But when we left yesterday, we talked about a couple of things yesterday morning. We talked about the possibility that the NBA would postpone, if not cancel, the rest of the season. In fact, Bernie was like, oh, come on, that's crazy. One thing not to have fans inside the building. It's another thing maybe to move the games. And sure enough, last night, it turns out Rudy Gobert, one of the best players in the NBA, part of that great 1-2 punch with the Utah Jazz with Donovan Mitchell, he's got the coronavirus. And once that was determined last night, the NBA did shut down all operations. They have suspended the season. Maybe they come back in a month. Maybe they don't. Don't know. I tell you what, LeBron James and the Lakers and the Greek freak in Milwaukee can't be happy this morning. They're having great years. But they did suspend the NBA, and we'll find out what that means moving forward. Now, don't forget, folks, the National Hockey League is in the same boat. And now we'll have to wait and see what Gary Bettman does with the NHL. You know, if the basketball is not being played, it's the same amount of people at a hockey game.
Same thing with Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball, too.
Same thing with
right.
any organized sporting event where people gather.
But baseball, they play outside.
It doesn't matter. If you have a calm, non-windy day, the germs are there. The germs hang in the air. They hang in the air for like 3 hours.
But didn't we say yesterday, and even de Blasio said it, that the reason they should not cancel the St. Patrick's Day parade is if you're outside that you're not going to get the virus? That's not true now, I guess you're saying.
That is not true.
Okay.
If it's not being blown around by the wind, you can get it. But you get person-to-person contact, A. But it also, if it hangs in the air or it touches a surface, it stays on the surface for 3 hours.
3 hours.
I read about this last night.
Hmm.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on TV, but
we will have a TV doctor on the program
yes,
today. Sanjay Gupta coming up at 9:05.
I mean, people are still going to flood the bars. It's still going to be packed with people.
And the subways as well.
And like I said, just Tuesday night downstairs here at Madison Square Garden, the Allman Brothers were here, and they're all dead, by the way, and the place was packed. But it's funny. So Meany was telling me this morning, our terrific board op engineer, producer Matt Meany, that there was a movie many, many years ago, and a lot of the biggest names in the NBA back then, and quite frankly in the history of the NBA, were in the movie. And in the movie, what's happening today was the theme of the film, believe it or not. And we're talking about something that was 24 years ago. So the name of the movie was Space Jams. Is that right, Meany?
Correct. With Michael Jordan, yes. A Looney Tunes. It was a Warner Brothers Looney Tunes film, yes.
Michael Jordan was in it. Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, a host of some of the all-time greats. Is that right?
Correct. Muggsy Bogues. one of the great little guys.
Yeah, he was. No. So there's a virus in the movie, and they suspend the NBA season. You can't make this up. Let's go back 24 years ago to 1996 with the movie Space Jams.
After meeting with team owners, I have decided that until we can guarantee the health and safety of our NBA players, there will be no more basketball this season.
That's unbelievable. Space Jam, excuse me, not Space Jam.
Well,
Space Jam.
You heard Dean Koontz wrote 40 years ago, and he called it the Wuhan.
Yes, the lady called in told us that yesterday. Yeah, so it's kind of like that book 1984 by George Orwell, and we've seen things here now that do mimic what he wrote many, many years ago. So whether it's that book by Dean Koontz or Space Jam, here we are. And the NBA has, in fact, suspended all the operations. And like Bernie and I just said, the National Hockey League, Major League Baseball, who knows? Now, I do think it's an overreaction. I said that with Kayla Mamalek earlier today on Good Day New York, Channel 5 on the news. But not everybody does, including John in White Plains, and he's on line 5 this morning. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, thanks.
So, Sid, the way I would look at this is like time of possession in football. Let's say you're playing against an offensive team that's going to score in like every play, like, you know, Kansas City during the regular season.
Right.
If you can manage to hold the ball for great periods of time, you're going to slow down their offensive production.
Right.
So although it looks like an overreaction, it's really not, because what you're doing is you're just trying to slow down the spikes of the spread of the infection. And what you don't want here is for even those low percentages of people who are going to get it and have terrible reactions to it to overwhelm the healthcare system. My wife is a nurse, so if she has to work longer shifts and can't take time off, she could possibly get it. And then you're spreading the infection and you're pulling a nurse out and you're weakening the system. So right. It's about flattening the curve of the spread.
The fact of the matter is, John, that is fair.
The fact is that we really just don't know. We don't know. So it's out of, as they say, an abundance of caution. And also a cover-your-you-know-what kind of move. So they don't get sued for saying, well, you should have shut it down. I got the coronavirus, and now I'm suing you. It's a combination of those things. Yeah. We just don't know because, again, I mentioned the CPAC conference. One guy got it. He was there. He was shaking hands with everybody, and nobody else has tested positive for it. And they were all together, close quarters, shaking hands, hugging, whatever the hell it was. Nobody got it. Nobody else got it. We don't know.
We don't know. That's true. And the fear of the unknown does sometimes make decisions like this easy. They do seem like an overreaction when we've learned what the stats are, but the stats can change too. That's a good call, John. Thank you. Here's Peter in Chatham, New Jersey. He's on line 4. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, Sid. Question for you. Yeah. What do you think would happen if this Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday?
They'd play the game, and it would be on Channel 5 and or Channel 2, and there'd be 75,000 people in a stadium somewhere in San Francisco.
Well, now, why do you say that? If they're canceling all kinds of sporting events, how could they make an exception?
Again, they've only canceled. I know it stays out there 3 hours. They're canceling indoor events. They haven't canceled any outdoor events.
Now, St. Patrick's Day Parade is an outdoor
That's
event.
True. You're right.
We don't know.
It's a tough question. I mean, I think they would play it, but it's a fair question. And Bernie's right. Maybe they wouldn't. That would be something else, by the way. Forget about the NBA season if you actually had to cancel the Super Bowl. Here's Marco. He's in the Bronx, Bernard, this morning, and Marco was online too. Good morning, Marco.
Morning, guys. Love you guys. You're still the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I heard a doctor on one of the other stations that said if you do sneeze, it does stay on surfaces for a long time, so wipe it down, it comes right off. But if you do sneeze, if somebody has it and sneezes, this doctor, you could ask the doctor that comes on, you know, when he comes on your show, but the doctor says when you sneeze, it just stays in the air for like 10, 15 seconds and then hits the ground, and that's it. It's all over.
Okay. Well, it hits the ground, it stays on the ground, or it hits a surface, it hits a counter, it hits a wall, it hits a person's jacket, and then somebody else touches it. Who knows? Nobody knows. We'll ask the Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and we'll find out about it. But, again, everybody is just being extra cautious and afraid. Again, also financially cautious because they don't want to get sued, as I mentioned.
1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. I've got a question, too. I know it's been, as you mentioned earlier, Bernard, the average age of people who die from this, not get sick, but die, is about 80. But I do wonder about kids who have respiratory issues. If they've already got chronic, right? My son, for example, Gaby, he takes single air every single night when he goes to bed because he's got asthma and he's got some allergies. So my wife is scared to death with Gabe. Not me, not her, not Ava, but Gabe. I got to tell you, though, Ava wakes up every single day, and she's going to be 16 years old in April. God bless her, my daughter. And she's like, when are they going to cancel my effing school?
Oh, my kids, too.
Oh, are you kidding me? That's a natural reaction.
Right? It's going to happen soon, I would think, right?
I mean, so then a little part of you think, why can't we be canceled for a week or two? With pay.
Well, I would ask you
this. A little
this.
Part. I actually like being here. But,
no, so do I. But we could use the sleep. But if they find out that somebody here has it, like Rudy Gobert, Utah Jazz, we're shutting down the NBA. If they find out that somebody here has it, I don't even mean the 17th floor. It could be somebody in the Knick offices on the 15th floor, the Ranger offices on the 14th floor. They got to shut the building down, no?
I would imagine.
Even if they don't.
Let me just say to your initial question on Gaby, I would be worried about him.
That's correct.
I would definitely be worried.
We are.
There's three high-risk categories. And by the way, Tom Hanks has one of them. It's respiratory, it's a heart condition, and it's people with diabetes. Those are the three high risk, plus older people. But Tom Hanks has type 2 diabetes. Nobody's reporting that. He has it. I remember about a year or two ago, he was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, so he's in the high risk factor. And so, unfortunately, sadly, is Gaby. I would be worried, too, if I were
you. We are. Yeah, we are. And,
you should keep him home, probably.
Yeah, no, yeah, we are. That's the end of that. Bill Donahue, Bill O'Reilly, and Dr. Sanjay Gupta, again, coming up at 9. Any questions you guys got, feel free to fire at us, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. And we may ask Sanjay a question for you. We got plenty of questions ourselves. Who doesn't? The coronavirus. It's taken over the world.
Sid is all excited. Bust that move, my brother.
You saw that. That was pretty good, right? I mean, for a white man.
You're all jacked up for this Channel 5 thing. Sid is all over Channel 5 all morning long.
Yeah, it's
pretty
good.
Caught him on the way in.
What caught me? Kayla actually texted me at 4:45 a.m. When you get off the train, I'll be here.
So you want to check him out. Watch Channel 5 this morning. But listen to Bernie and Sid. Keep the sound down, of course,
right,
on the TV.
Right.
Look, this is, as I mentioned earlier, and this is an historic moment in time. We're going to remember this. I mean, cancellations galore, suspensions, cancellations, all this stuff. Presidential, primetime proclamation speeches, whatever.
I was thinking about that this morning. You and I have been together.
We're all affected, but hopefully not infected.
Right. Oh, very good. Say that again.
Well,
we're all affected.
I'll say it one time. One time only.
All right. But I was thinking this morning, you and I have now been together on the air. And don't forget, there was a 16-year period where I was out in New York City and working down in Miami. And yet, 9/11, Donald Trump's win over Hillary Clinton, and the coronavirus.
Right. You and I.
You and I.
Look at us, man.
Isn't that unbelievable?
We're going through life together.
The last 20 years, there has been some very historical moments. And for what it's worth, you and I have been together. I believe the three biggest ones. Don't you think?
That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right about that. You missed Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, I did. You're right.
That's
you're right.
The one thing. But yeah. I'm glad you missed it. It wasn't fun. Hey, Maggie is in Suffolk County. Good morning to you, Maggie.
Good morning. I just want to know what Cuomo was doing with reimbursing parents and the students' kids with the SUNY school closing for housing and the food plant.
You know, this is that's an excellent question, Maggie. If people didn't hear, this went down late last night. They're closing all SUNY schools and CUNY schools.
They
told the kids to pack your bags and get the hell off campus.
Go home. They did the same thing in Jersey a couple of days ago. Rutgers, Seton Hall, literally like Tuesday morning, go home.
Get out.
And now they're doing it at the New York schools too. Yes, CUNY and SUNY, Albany, Binghamton, Baruch, you name it, they're done.
To Maggie's point, our question is, will they get, well, I'm sure they will be reimbursed. I'm sure. Especially, it's other people's money. To Governor Cuomo, he doesn't care. Send him home and we'll pay you. We'll reimburse you. Don't worry about it. We'll just raise taxes on people like Sydney and myself.
Yeah, and that's right. You say they get reimbursed. I will tell you that my wife was supposed to run the Tokyo Marathon, Danielle, and it was canceled. And she is having a bitch of a time getting her money back from Finnair. They initially said, here's what we'll do. The flight was $4,000. We'll give you back $2,000.
Finnair, is that from Finland or Ireland?
Yeah, because she was supposed... No, this was a trip to Tokyo. She was supposed to stop in Helsinki on the way to Japan.
I see.
So she took Finnair. Again, the flight was $4,000. They promised to give her back $2,000, but they've given her nothing up to this point.
Well, you know, being a foreign entity, foreign company, I guess... I they're not as accommodating to a United States resident's wishes and desires or whatever. I don't know. I don't know what they do in Finland. They're neighbors with Russia, for God's sakes. That makes them half barbarians, I guess.
So,
Danny is in Long Island.
Hey, Bernie, I got you. Our NYPD friends just texted me this. You know who Sylvia Brown is?
Sylvia Brown?
She predicts the future,
I guess.
Yeah. So she wrote in her end of days book, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and the bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments.
way to instill calm, Jill.
Oh, my God.
That is amazing. That is incredible. That and the Wuhan, who was that lady?
Dean Koontz.
Dean Koontz wrote about the Wuhan, what do you call it? The Wuhan...
He called it the Wuhan 145 or something.
Said, but he did call it Wuhan.
He did.
That's and this is the Wuhan coronavirus.
This is crazy.
I don't care what they say. Danny is in Long Island. Good morning to you, Danny.
Well, now that I know that Cynthia Brown has
predicted it. I just canceled my egg white omelet. I'm going with a bacon egg, double bacon egg, and cheese.
That's the way. You know, I'm going to start smoking.
I'm going to go down. I'm getting Captain Crunch with whole milk. And this is it. I'm done.
A pack of cigarettes.
No.
And a bottle of or a 12-pack of beer.
That's it. All healthy eating is now canceled till further notice. If we must go down, let's go down. Listen, my relative of mine, I won't give out too much information, is a emergency room physician's assistant. So last week they had a guy come in, horrible shape, late 40s, early 50s, diabetes, overweight. Just typical. Just worst case scenario, trouble breathing, blah blah blah. So my nephew was in the room. First question out of protocol: have you been traveling? Yeah, I was in Washington State. Thank you. Everybody out of the room. Everybody comes back in, armed to the teeth. The nuclear waste suits, everything. Right. He gets tested. He's got it. So the next day, my nephew gets a phone call from the higher management. How long were you in the room with patient A? Less than 30 seconds, sir. First question I asked. Okay, that doesn't even count as a contact. You're good enough to come back to work tomorrow. So here you have this kid who's out in the world. He's going to young guys, probably at bars, partying. He was less than 10 feet away from somebody. Doesn't count as a contact. But if it did, are we now going to shut that entire hospital down? Because this is what they do with these schools now. So yeah. If a nurse tests positive and that nurse is in contact with 100 nurses, who's coming to work tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the question. The unknown factor. I mean, nobody knows. I mean, would a shutdown be warranted or would it not be? At this point, I think not. I mean, it is very contagious. It's 10 times more contagious than the regular flu. But we don't know. You just don't know. Is it prudent to shut down, commerce and travel and businesses?
When you say we don't know.
And sporting events, all these things. That's commerce, by the way.
Right. Oh, it's a lot of money they're going to lose.
Yeah.
We don't know. Probably you then do act on the side of be safe.
On the side of caution. But
yeah.
But how many people does that hurt? And what kind of precedent does it set for things in the future? I mean, do you just plow through, suffer the consequences, and then allow businesses to thrive, to continue to exist? Or do you shut everything down and damage it? I mean, which causes more damage, I guess, is the question.
Bill Donahue is the president of the Catholic League, and he comes in every year. All the years he's been together, Bernie and I, he comes in every year at this time to talk about the St. Patrick's Day Parade, and there's not going to be one this year. First time, ladies and gentlemen, in 258 years.
I'll be Jesus.
258 years, no St. Patrick's Day Parade. Bill Donahue has his thoughts on that. Waiting on the president of the Catholic League. We love this guy, Bill Donahue. This guy's a very entertaining guy, smart guy, very smart. Love St. Patrick's Day.
And provocative.
Very provocative, yes. And he drinks like an Irishman should.
Take it easy.
Huh? I mean, what do you guys do? That's what you do. Don't get upset.
I think I had two beers since New Year's Eve.
Oh, you're almost Jewish at this point. You're in the media.
No, I mean, just because of I work too much. The hours, they kill me.
What about Saturdays?
I just abstain because I want to get a good night's sleep.
See? Well, you're one of the exceptions. I mean, the truth is most of your people are...
Take it easy, will you?
What happened?
Your mic is on, sir.
I mean...
Oh, it's on?
You want me to, you want me to engage in stereotypical, exchange with you?
Just so you know.
On ethnicities?
This is how it all started.
You don't want to do this.
Back in 2002, when we were really allowed to have fun on radio, and that this type of talk, and Bernie did come back at me with every Jewish joke you could have, resulted in him kicking my ass in the ring in 2003. So
it actually turned into the Hebrew hammer.
Versus,
well, they call me Berserk McGurk.
Oh, that's right, Berserk.
But we made it an ethnic thing.
We did.
And all the Jews were rooting for you.
That's right.
And all the Irish construction workers were rooting for me and the cops.
Which is funny. All the Jews are rooting for me, and in my corner was Joe Tacopina, Teddy Atlas, not one Jew. No Heshy Ogenbaum back then, so anyway.
And I had the Jew. My trainer was Randy Gordon.
Right, the commish. I believe is still at SiriusXM doing MMA and all that stuff.
He's doing boxing, actually.
Boxing.
With Jerry Cooney.
Gotcha. So our mayor, Bill de Blasio, who was the one to tell everybody yesterday, even though the day before he talked about, well, this thing, you know, if it's not a breezy day, it's outside, I want to put the parade on. And then, of course, he, as we predicted, when we left the air yesterday morning, he did cancel the parade.
Well, I read that Governor Cuomo made the call on this.
Oh, it was Cuomo, not Bill.
Cuomo usurped a Bolshevik bill. You know, they hate each other's guts.
Yeah.
They really loathe each other.
Yeah.
Which is great for, you know, somebody like me and you.
Great.
Who hates both of them.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, Governor Cuomo is the one who made the call on this.
Oh, okay.
Not de Blasio.
All right. Well, one of the questions that Kayla asked me at Channel 5 this morning, Bernie, was the economics behind this. In other words, right now downstairs is the Big East tournament. In fact, St. John's had a big win over Georgetown last night. Some of the best teams in the country in college basketball this year, Creighton, Butler, Seton Hall, Providence, right downstairs. And as of right now, they're allowing limited access to fans. But the consensus is, the conventional wisdom is, that they will stop the fans from coming downstairs, too. And who knows? I mean, look, they've already decided no bands during the March Madness basketball tournament. They suspended the NBA season. So who knows? And she asked me if I thought there would be a huge economic impact. And I said, of course. Local hotels, local restaurants, they're going to take a beating.
Parking garages, you name it. Yeah, absolutely. This neighborhood that we're in, the Penn Station, 2 Penn Plaza, et cetera, the whole neighborhood is going to take a hit.
Take a big beating. And any one of these arenas next to these, where the tournaments are for the March Madness, or these NBA arenas where, you know, smaller cities, you know, like in Memphis, for example, the whole city is in and around the pyramid where the Grizzlies play, and they're going to take a vicious beating. They are. But I did ask the question last night. I said, what do you think about Broadway as home? And, you know, Broadway shows, you're kind of packed in like a sardine. I went to see, for example, To Kill a Mockingbird a couple of months ago, which was terrific. It was great. And what's his name from Dumb and Dumber? He played Atticus Finch.
Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels, right, who shined me at, what's her name?
Joan Hamburg's event.
Yeah, you were right there, man.
Yeah.
You saw the whole thing, son of a bitch. Anyway, but he's great as Atticus Finch. But we sat there like I'm going to quote Hakeem Jeffries, like sardines. Was that Hakeem Jeffries I just quoted, like sardines?
Biggie.
How does that go?
It would be...
I used to eat sardines for dinner. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Very good. But I remember being very uncomfortable and being very packed in. So Broadway did come to mind last night. And ironically, the mayor, Bill de Blasio, was on with our friends Allison Camerota and John Berman on CNN this morning. And the question of Broadway was posed, and here's what the mayor had to say.
And today and tomorrow, we'll put out guidance. I don't want to see Broadway go dark if we can avoid it. I want to see if we can strike some kind of balance. If we cannot strike that balance, of course, you can go to closure. And that's the decision we'll be making right away.
Now, if Bill de Blasio was a Republican, and he said, I don't want to see Broadway go dark, how pissed would Don Lemon be tonight?
That's according to Anthony Mason at CBS. He just uttered a racist comment. That's right.
That's all I can think of.
We don't want to see.
So true.
Let me just say this. There is this one usher who worked 2 Broadway shows, and he came down positive with the coronavirus.
Ooh, you know what theaters are exactly?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
But look, if you're going to close down sporting events and large gatherings,
yes.
I mean, it just, how can you pick and choose?
You can't.
You got to do it all.
It's all logical. Then you got to close this place, Byrne. I'm telling you, Madison Square Garden, how do you keep it open?
The usher worked for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what theater that is.
That's at the Booth Theater.
The Booth?
He worked at 2, the Booth. The broadcast Booth.
Yes, he worked at 6 as well. It's called 6. But Laurie Metcalf is in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Oh, wow. Of course, you know her from Roseanne's show, right? Yeah. And many other things. She's very funny. So do you think they're going to close this building, Madison Square Garden?
They're not going to close the building.
They're not?
I don't think. Why would they close the building?
Everything else is being closed.
Right. People inside this building have it.
I haven't heard any talk of buildings being closed.
Not yet.
An arena where everybody's together and screaming.
Right. But we're upstairs from the arena. We're in the same building as the arena, basically, aren't we? Not really. I guess we're
in a building just in front of the arena.
Right.
Just adjacent to it. Right.
Right.
But if people from this building, if one person had the coronavirus, would you self-quarantine yourself and not wait for it to be closed? Would you say, forget it, I'm not coming in?
Well, that's what Danielle's doing this morning. Somebody on the 3 floors below her in her building has it. And she's not going in because, again, we're very afraid what can happen to Gabriel, my son, which makes a lot of sense. And I would kind of be in that same boat. Like, if I'm going to be coming into contact with somebody who's got it, I'm not worried about myself. I'm in great shape, but I don't want to pass it along to Gabe, my son, my 11-year-old son. So I would have to really consider not coming in. Yeah. Yeah.
You are taking the subway.
I am.
You are going to the gym.
I am.
There's a story out about how the gym is a breeding ground for super carriers.
Super carriers.
Super carriers. Mm-hmm. People who are contagious and go to work out and leave their sweat all over the place. And if somebody replaces them on the bench or whatever machine they were using or whatever.
Yeah.
And they say that's the way they describe
it. You'll get it, right?
People who are health freaks who get the virus go to the gym. They're called super carriers.
I would imagine SoulCycle too, because you're on that bicycle, your ass sweats. I'm being honest. I mean, I'm being graphic. But if you sit down on that bicycle seat 10 minutes later for the next class, that sweat's there. You got it, right?
Well, yeah, hopefully.
Oh, God.
I mean, with a bike, don't you clean it off after a class?
You do, but you run the risk you miss a sweat droplet and you're dead, right?
Right. I mean, or the handles.
The handles. You hold on to the handles. That's right.
You might miss something.
So,
yeah, that's right.
So they're going to close down or suspend, I should say, the NBA and the rest of these things. And this is my biggest fear as a gym. I don't care about anything else. You could shut down the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, Broadway, restaurants. I don't care. I have to be able to go home, see my family, and go to the gym. That's it. If they shut down the gym, I'm gonna freak out.
You're gonna go out of your mind. You know, I'll start
running again outside. But
that's right.
Yeah, but you.
I know it's not the same.
No muscle. You can't build muscle running.
I'm addicted myself. I am one of these people. That's what I've become. Sadly, but
so
that's
are you?
What I am.
Are you nervous that they're gonna start shutting these things down?
No, I would adjust, just like you say. I mean, I have some stuff at my house, and I would turn back into a runner.
Right.
Until they can open a gym.
Yeah.
But I did go to a skin doctor yesterday, and they're going to take this basal cell thing that I have on my forehead.
It looks much better today.
Thank you. They're going to take it off.
They are.
And she told us, of all the things she said, the doctor, they're going to take it off on Monday. Of all the things she said is, and you can't work out for a week. That's the one thing that I know. I can take anything. I don't care. I got a bandage on my head for 24 hours.
We're looking at each other like, what the hell is this?
Why not?
No, that's terrible. Isn't
that awful?
Well, they do the same thing to me, you know, when I get Botox and filler and stuff. They're like, don't, because you're going to make a face, you know, you're going to like this when you lift the weight. So try not to go to the gym and don't do anything heavy. And I always go like 2 hours later. Not even two days, that's hours.
What I'm thinking to myself. I'm thinking maybe one day. Forget the week.
Forget about it.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll just make a concerted effort not to scrunch my mush.
That's it. That's the whole key. Don't contort your face.
And don't bend over too much. Well,
that's because of the gyms that you go to in Chelsea.
I mean, that came out wrong.
Oh.
It's because the blood will rush to your head.
Right.
And you have this little, you know, whatever. They got to stitch it up after they're done, and it's just not good.
Not good. Actually, Marianne from Brooklyn checks in. Again, she called in yesterday. Very funny. She said, well, if they do close Madison Square Garden, then Spike Lee doesn't have to worry about what entrance he's going to use. That's very good, Marianne. And Bill Downey is going to join us for a couple of minutes before next hour. Bill O'Reilly on the way. Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the way. This is the place to be, folks. Bernie and Sid on this historic time in our country.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Sadly, we're not going to have this kind of fun this coming Tuesday. They canceled the St. Patrick's Day Parade. It's an annual, it's a tradition for Sidney and myself. Every St. Patrick's Day, we have Bill Donahue, president of the Catholic League. He's brilliant, this guy, and provocative, and we love him. Anyway, he's on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Mr. Donahue.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Bill Donahue. So, how do you feel? What do you think? They're picking on these St. Patrick's Day people. Are we overreacting, or what's happening here?
Well, I guess they pretty much had to do what they did. But on the other hand, I have to say that there's a certain virtue of what's happened here. We have learned how good it is to quarantine people. I would like to make the Bill Donahue suggestion today on your show. I want to quarantine the mayor, okay? And I want to give you three choices. Number one, I would say my first choice would be to quarantine him in Rikers Island.
Yeah.
Okay? Let him meet the deplorables there. That, in fact, he was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, so you know about the deplorables. The second one would be... his gym in Brooklyn. I think we could just let him park himself there. And but he might get lonely, so I'd like to bring him all the illegal aliens in New York City into his gym in Brooklyn and let him sit there with these people and play chess.
The criminal illegal aliens in particular, yes.
And the third choice would be Cuba. Remember, that's where he honeymooned. He even lied to his own kids. This
that's
is
right.
true. He told his kids he went to Canada, and he went to Cuba with his, you know, the beauty queen. And yeah. So let me tell you something. This guy is for hunger. And this guy hates the Catholic Church. He hates St. Patrick's Day people because he's the one who tried to bust up the parade years ago when he lied and said the gays were not allowed to march. Of course they were marching. They marched with me. They marched with anybody. You just didn't march under your own banner. And that's a pretty big distinction.
Right.
And so, you know, just desserts for him. But hopefully by the time they get the parade going, he'll bail out again.
Right. He'll be gone next year anyway. And, of course, the precedence was set. They did cancel the St. Patrick's Day parades in both Boston and Dublin, Ireland, before they canceled it here yesterday. So the precedence was kind of set. What's funny is, Bill, is we bring you on every year at this time, like Bernard said, for St. Patrick's Day, for the parade. You're on throughout the year for other topics as well, because you are brilliant and funny and smart and pretty much religious, especially compared to us. But the funny part is you don't even go to the parade, do you? You go to some local bar nearby and just get hammered.
Yeah, I go with my bartenders, Brendan and Patrick, Long Island. Now, listen, I was in the parade for 20 years. I was their unofficial spokesman for 20 years. The only reason I pulled the Catholic League contingent is because I was lied to by one of the top officials of the parade because they called me and they said, listen, we're going to allow gays to march under their own banner. And, Bill, you've been our spokesman saying, The parade is not anti-gay because they don't allow pro-life people to march under their own banner either. I said, well, if you want to allow the gays to march under their own banner, that's fine with me on one condition. They said, what's that? That you allow the pro-life people to march under their own banner. And they said, yes, it's done. And then I found out they didn't. They allowed the gays to march under their own banner, but not the pro-life people. I pulled the Catholic League's contingent. I was lied to. The guy has since passed away who was responsible. It was not John Dunleavy, who was a good man. He was lied to, too, by these people. Some of the people involved in the St. Patrick's Day parade, some at the very top, are corrupt people, and they don't have the best interest of Irish involved, particularly the Catholics. They become very secular. And one of these days, I expect the Grand Marshal will be one of these trans LGBT
Billy Porter.
XYZ people.
Yeah, Billy Porter. Hey, listen, on the way, we're out of time, Bill, but Jill, our own Jill Vitale had a great point. The gay pride parade, would they let somebody march under the MAGA banner, a Make America Great Again banner? Would they? Of course they wouldn't.
No, they wouldn't. In fact, I would have my own float. It's called Straight is Great.
Bill Donahue, you're the best, man. We'll have you back on when we have
guys.
More time.
All right,
thanks,
Bill.
Very much.
Around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere. On the 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen, forget about Bernie Sanders. He's going to stay in the race. Forget the fact that Harvey Weinstein got 23 years yesterday. Even that the stock market, the longest bull run is over. The longest in history. It is now officially a bear market. Stocks tanked again yesterday. It was nice while it lasted, but it'll come back. Don't panic, but this is an historic moment in time, Sydney. It's a very historic. We are all affected, hopefully not infected.
I love that line. That is such a great line.
Listen, all kinds of things. Never before has the St. Patrick's Day parade been canceled. Never before.
I believe it was 258 years ago.
Oh, that's when it began.
Oh, okay.
And here in New York City, anyway. And, of course, the NBA has suspended the season. And that doesn't mean it's canceled, but they suspended it. The Knicks, who played against the Utah Jazz where the guy tested positive, the Knicks are self-quarantining.
Yeah.
Because they played the Jazz within the last 14 days.
That's right. And Rudy Gobert, the very talented center for the Utah Jazz, is the person that came up positive. That's when the league, you know, yesterday in the morning, for example, the NBA met. And the Golden State Warriors decided yesterday morning no more fans in attendance. Ironically, the Brooklyn Nets, our own Brooklyn Nets, were in San Francisco for that game last night. So for the most part yesterday, it was teams were starting to really consider just banning the fans. It wasn't until Rudy Gobert tested positive from the Utah Jazz. They found that out late last night that the league did, in fact, suspend operations.
By the way, this bozo is on tape. While he's infected, he's on tape actually touching all the microphones for some reason, being a clown. And he's subsequent to what he did, touching all the microphones that other people touched after he did. It wasn't until after that they found out he tested positive for the coronavirus. But forget all that. The big story, of course, is that Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita Wilson, they actually have the coronavirus. They're down in Australia taping a movie about Elvis Presley, and they weren't feeling well. And Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson now have the coronavirus. Now, Tom Hanks is 63 years old, so he's no spring chicken. But what's not being reported is the fact that he is a type 2 diabetic, that is a high-risk factor. Mm-hmm. So Godspeed to Tom Hanks.
Godspeed? He's not dead.
Well, Godspeed means that we wish him well.
We're rooting for him.
And we hope he doesn't die.
Right. We love Tom Hanks.
But he does. He is one of these people who are in a high-risk category, people with heart disease, respiratory ailments, and diabetes. Those are the three particular high-risk factors. Also, being like 80 years old as well. That's the fourth.
He doesn't like Donald Trump, and he was making a lot of weird faces when Ricky Gervais was picking on him at the Golden Globe Awards.
Well, there's a lot of
people. Sure you want to wish Tom Hanks Godspeed?
Oh, yes. Listen, come on. Look, at this point in time, I'm not like this, the punk in a pantsuit Pelosi and Schmuck Schumer. I'm not playing politics right now. Listen, the guy's one of the greatest actors ever, and we wish him well. He's a nice guy. He's a little misguided, and he's in that Hollywood bubble. So I cut him some slack.
All right.
But now, speaking to the president, he stepped up last night. He gave a great speech from the Oval Office, and he proposed. He didn't propose them. They're going to take effect tomorrow night at midnight, this travel ban from Europe. Listen to the president.
We have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe. The European Union failed to take the same precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots. As a result, a large number of new clusters in the United States were seeded by travelers from Europe. To keep new cases from entering our shores, we will be suspending all travel from Europe to the United States for the next 30 days. We made a life-saving move with early action on China. Now we must take the same action with Europe. We will not delay. I will never hesitate to take any necessary steps to protect the lives, health, and safety of the American people.
Now, he's patting himself on the back a little bit, and he should. He was on trial during this witch hunt. He was on trial. He was defending himself against potentially being evicted from office. But he was focused on the coronavirus, and it was at that point during the trial, when the Senate and the House were shut down, they were doing nothing while this disease was spreading throughout the world and encroaching on our shores. They were doing squat. They were trying to get this guy out of office. And while they were doing that, he saw what was happening and decided, because he was informed and he listened to his advisors, he started that travel ban from China, and that bought us a lot of time. It minimized the damage that we would otherwise be suffering right now. So he did that.
He did.
Under those circumstances. And for that, he should get the Medal of Freedom or some damn thing, if you ask me. But it's still, these people, again, they're still afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome. They're out of their minds. They're sick in the head. You have this this creep, Joy Reid, Jim Acosta. And actually, you have them and a couple of other people, Mika Brzezinski. But let's go with Joy Reid and Jim Acosta. Listen to these two from last night.
Believe that it's real. Like, don't believe that it's a hoax, even if an official, let's say, government tells you. We should note his favorite news channel is echoing him.
One of the points that the president wanted to make tonight, wanted to get across to Americans, is that this virus did not start here. And I think it's going to smack, it's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia.
Xenophobia. Now, Joy Reid, what she was talking about, she said that the president was calling the coronavirus a hoax, echoing his favorite news channel, Fox News, saying that they were calling it a hoax. Where does she get that crap from? And Jim Acosta saying that it was that the travel ban from Europe, because the European Union did not implement a travel ban from China, so they're paying the price right now.
Right.
Angela Merkel was the one who said, look, 70% of Germans are going to get the coronavirus. She said that. That was the lead headline on Drudge for 2 days. And it was because they didn't take action back in late January, like the president did, to stop travel of people who are infected from China. And so they're paying the price. So the president says, wow, you're going to get 70% in Germany. Well, we're going to stop travel from Germany right. and the rest of the European Union.
I thought what he did was smart. I thought it was great. In terms of my situation with the conference I've been talking about for days now in Ireland for my son, they did postpone it. The actual dyspraxia group in Ireland postponed it till October the 3rd. So I'm not sure whether or not you can fly in and out of Ireland. I know it's not on the list.
You
probably can.
You can.
But they still decided to postpone it. They don't want to put 200 people inside a conference room in a hotel, even if that city seems to have no cases. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to do it anywhere.
Well, no,
anywhere.
Nor should they. Probably not, I guess. But the UK is exempt.
Yes.
And Ireland, which is not part of the UK, but they followed whatever the protocol the UK was using regarding travel, it wasn't the same as the EU. And Ireland followed along with the UK, and that's why they're exempt. That's the reason for it. Now, again, on this xenophobic thing, I mean, this is unbelievable. This is Joe Biden after the president said the president actually implemented the travel ban that saved a lot of lives here in this country. And this is what Biden said in early February.
Now, we have right now a crisis with the coronavirus. This is no time for Donald Trump's record of hysterical xenophobia, and fear-mongering to lead the way instead of science.
It's unbelievable. If the guy, if he overreacts, they'll say he's creating panic. If he underreacts, they're saying he didn't do enough.
Right.
He should have did a travel ban. The guy can't win with these creeps. It's sick. And as far as calling the coronavirus, the Chinese coronavirus, the Wuhan virus, calling it that, being racist, again, from early February, you have these fake news fools, including Mika Brzezinski, and a guy we respect, actually, he's going to be a guest next hour. I mean, correctly calling it the Chinese coronavirus. Sanjay Gupta, take a listen to this.
The Wuhan coronavirus has now surpassed the 2003 SARS outbreak.
The first U.S. case of Chinese coronavirus was confirmed at one of her hospitals.
Inside that building is the world's first lab-grown copy of the Wuhan coronavirus outside mainland China.
The Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people.
The death toll from the Wuhan coronavirus spiked today.
The Chinese virus, the coronavirus that is worrying the whole world.
Sanjay?
This comes as the Chinese coronavirus death toll has jumped to at least 26 people.
So when Ilhan Omar criticizes the minority leader in the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, for tweeting out that this is the Chinese coronavirus, he's saying that he is engaging in racism. Where was she when they were calling it the Chinese coronavirus a month ago? Where were they? Where was she?
Fair question, Byrne. Fair question.
I mean,
once again,
sons of bees.
Where's Hunter?
You know, Schmuck Schumer and Punk in a Pantsuit Pelosi, they put out a statement after the president made his, and he was calling for calm and unity. They put out this politically sniping report. They should throw their asses into Guantanamo for the duration of this virus
treason.
Epidemic.
It's treason. There is a poll up this morning, folks, which we want you to participate in. It's at Bernie and Sid, of course, our Twitter handle, for Bernie and Sid in the morning, at Bernie and Sid. And Jill puts these up all the time. These are her polls. She asked the question, who would you rather be quarantined with because of the coronavirus? And your four choices are A, AOC, B, Bill de Blasio, C, Harvey Weinstein, and D, Greta Thunberg.
I mean, that's easy.
AOC?
Of course.
Yeah, out of those four.
Out of those four,
yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe she
yeah, I know where you're
maybe
going.
Maybe she'll get tired.
Yeah.
It's just whatever.
Maybe but she'll get tired.
You know, but the rest of them, I mean, you wouldn't want to be nowhere.
De Blasio, Harvey Weinstein, and Greta Thunberg.
Oh my God.
Not even
give
close.
Me the virus today.
Hey, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? These two Russian pranksters, they actually pretended to be A, Greta Thunberg, and B, Greta Thunberg's dad. And they talked to Prince Harry. And he spoke to him for like a half hour.
And he never figured it out?
And he never figured it out. He said all kinds of personal things. Yeah. He thought he was talking to Greta Thunberg. And we have some audio of that. We'll get to that at some point. There's too much news right now. But, folks, we're going to get to it on the Bernie and Sid Show.
There's no tenderness.
How good are these guys, folks? Dig this. It's the Righteous Brothers, Bill Medley and Bucky Hurt.
You're trying hard not to show it. But baby, baby, I know it.
You see the Righteous Brothers coming up live in New Brunswick on June the 14th at the State Theater in New Jersey. Tickets are on sale right now at stnj.org. Going to be a great show. So great that Bernie and I are giving you tickets right now. Yes, Bernie and I are giving you tickets right now. Be calling number 5-212-268-WABC, 212-268-9222. And you're going to be there. More chances to win at the station website, which is very good, wabcradio.com. But again, you'll be going June 14th, State Theater, courtesy of Bernie and Sid. You know, before we get to Bill O'Reilly here coming up, and then Sanjay Gupta, we've got an hour straight of just great radio. The late night talk show hosts have also stopped inviting people to come watch. So yeah. You can't watch Fallon. You can't watch who's the guy that has Letterman's job now?
Colbert.
Yeah. And even Andy Cohen on Bravo with the his late night show WWHO, right. Which Lawrence is on. You can't, no fans. You can't come. So that's it.
Yeah. Come. No, I read that.
You don't care because you hate them all anyway.
I hate them. They're dead to me.
No, you like what's his name a little bit still, the redhead guy.
I like Fallon a little bit, and Conan is okay.
What is he on? 5 or something?
He's on TBS. I forgot that he scaled back his schedule a lot. Yeah. Conan did. I don't know what they're doing. I don't watch them. I don't pay attention. Like I said, they are all dead to me.
They're all dead to you.
I hate them.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. Here's my our buddy. I say my. It's our buddy, Corey Zelnick. He sends me this breaking news from the Knicks. Due to the coronavirus epidemic, the New York Knicks have decided to not participate in the 2020 NBA playoffs.
Oh, look at that. Are they so considerate?
Which not even close to making and haven't been for years, by the way. But that's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's a good news, this coronavirus for the Knicks.
Right.
And for Joe Biden.
For Joe Biden, yes.
Because the less you see of him at public events, the better. Every time he opens his mouth, his cognitive decline, to put it politely, is on display.
In a big way. So now, when O'Reilly comes on, we usually talk to Bill O'Reilly about the political landscape, right? About Bernie Sanders, about Joe Biden, maybe the debate coming up on Sunday, Florida on Tuesday. But really, that has taken a huge backseat.
It has.
To the coronavirus.
But that is still political. It's still very, very political. You heard me play some of the clips from the fake news.
You mean the coronavirus
idiots.
Is still very
yes,
political.
And,
yes.
And Schmuck Schumer and Punk in a Pantsuit Pelosi. They're all making so it is political.
And Biden and Sanders are the two big stars.
And if the president doesn't handle this properly, and so far so good, they did botch the original rollout of the testing kits, and that was the CDC. I mean, the guy can't do everything. But the travel ban was from China was tremendous. It was humongous. So anyway, it is political. If he botches it, it may hurt him because just before the election in November, this thing may come back. And then if the memory of him botching it, which he hasn't, if he did, it comes back, or the memory of him handling it very well may come back as well and do him a good. And also, his rallies may get canceled, which hurts him.
That does hurt him.
Because that's where he shines.
Oh, those
and again, as I pointed out, that's where Biden really, he's just horrible, horrendous, just terrible.
Well, like you said, Sunday night's debate between Sanders and Biden, they are not going to have any audience.
No.
And that doesn't hurt Joe Biden.
Well, it does. I think it hurts him because he's got to speak, he's got to actually finish a cogent thought. He's got to actually finish it.
But he would have to do that if the audience is there or not. No,
well, at times, what he does when the audience screams and howls, he stops, know what I mean? Because it's a convenient time to stop when you're lost. And he won't have that crutch, sort of, to when he's going up against Bernie Sanders, who's very much in command of the facts.
Very good point. Well, we're going to talk about all of these things. Again, you got to buckle up, folks. Next hour, we're going to talk to Bill O'Reilly, and then from CNN, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. O'Reilly and Gupta, only right here on Bernie and Sid.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. Our next guest, the highlight of the week. He's got a great, great website, BillO'Reilly.com. The No Spin News every weeknight at 7 o'clock. And, of course, you can pre-order his new book, Killing Crazy Horse. He's a well-accomplished author, is Bill O'Reilly. And let me bring him in right now. Good morning to you, Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, I did not know that both of you guys are descendants of weightlifting guys.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that. And Jack LaLanne texted me from heaven and said, I'm thrilled. And I don't know whether you know this, but they're going to remake Muscle Beach Party. And I think you guys are going to be considered.
Not me. Maybe Sid, not me.
Yeah.
I am a string bean, but...
Very impressive this morning, and I did 8 push-ups listening to you.
Well, listen, Bill, you're going to have to soon, everybody's going to have to do it from their homes because this Wuhan coronavirus, of course, is overtaking everything, and they're closing everything down. Next will be the gyms. It's the St. Patrick's Day Parade. It's the NBA, all kinds of things. The president gave a speech last night, and I would love to hear Bill O'Reilly's perspective on that.
Okay. First of all this stuff has to happen. It's terrible, and the world is suffering, but you have to err on the side of caution. You have to. So everybody should accept the inconvenience and in some cases the pain, economic pain. But here's the inside story of the speech, and this is something you'll never hear reported. So Donald Trump, from the very beginning, has had disdain for the European Union, all right? He believes that there's no one in charge over there and that illegal aliens run wild. So he used the occasion last night to basically say to the EU, look, we know you're not doing anything, all right? Now, that might be true or not true. I don't know. But in his mind, it is true. We know you're not doing anything, so you're not coming in here. All right, we're stopping all flights from Europe with the exception of Britain because Britain's out of the UK. So Britain does have now immigration, whereas all of the other UK countries do not. You can go and come as you please. So that was a subtext to what he was saying. Now, he didn't say, and the Democratic Party wants open borders, what if I had given in to that? And what if we had everybody crossing at will into the United States, as the Democratic Party, particularly Bernie Sanders, wants to do? He didn't do that because one of his themes was, we don't want to make this political. Right. But, of course, it is political. If you think about it, if the Democrats were in charge of the White House and Congress now, we would not have any border enforcement to speak of. And certainly everybody who got here would be getting all of the entitlements that Americans get and would be able to go anywhere they wanted to go if we had Democrats in power. Am I wrong so far?
100% right.
Okay. So this was the underpinning of what Donald Trump was trying to get across, that you have to have discipline and you have to have a very firm policy in order to stop things like coronavirus. And then he uses foreign virus. Now, I knew as soon as he said that CNN and NBC News would go crazy, and they did, because no matter what Donald Trump said last night, they would have gone crazy. They would have hammered him. Sure. There's no way they would have come out and said, you know, it's a pretty good speech. Maybe it wasn't perfect, but it's a good start. No way they're ever going to do that. So why would anybody watch these people? Now, also, you get the other side that says, well, Donald Trump is Moses, and he's going to lead us all into the promised land, and we're all going to be okay. I think we're all going to be okay. I think this will subside. That's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I think we will be, and I'm hoping we will be, because this is causing millions of us to suffer. But when you get into a situation where you have a disaster, and that's what this is, and you can't control it, man can't control the virus, man can't control it, then you have to basically protect yourself as best you can, personally. And you don't, that doesn't mean you live in the basement with freeze-dried. It just means you take precautions. Yeah. And that's what I'm doing. I think that's what you guys are doing. We're still going out to restaurants.
Yes.
You know, we still go to entertainment venues when we feel that it's under control. But what President Trump is supposed to do is lead. And that means not cause panic. You see, I mean, what is a guy supposed to do? Get out there and sweat and oh, my God, what are we going to do? No. He's supposed to go, this is the steps that we're taking. We hope that they mitigate some of the suffering. If they don't, we'll do other things. So he did that. And then I got, you know, we got to be subjected to this hysteria that, you know, he's the devil and he's a racist because he called it a foreign virus.
Which is what it is, by the
which
way.
Which is what they were doing a month ago.
Right.
All the fake news channels were calling it the Chinese coronavirus.
And
now,
the Wahoo virus.
Huh? Maybe you guys can explain why is anybody watching it?
Because they watch it because they hate Donald Trump.
All right.
It's really that simple.
That's the best explanation. But I'm sitting there and I want information from my family. I don't want to hear this insane stuff. All right, I don't want to hear the other stuff either. The guy's infallible and that he's the greatest guy, and I don't want to hear that either. Let's just do a fair assessment of where we are. And, you know, with the NBA and the St. Patrick's Day Parade and all of that, it's an inconvenience for us. But if it saves a few lives, then it's worth it, right?
No doubt.
100%. One of the things, though, that Donald Trump has been able to boast, no matter what else has gone on and all the name-calling, is the economy, specifically the stock market, and how it went from 18 to 30. Well, this thing is dropping thousands a day. It's down to 23. If this continues, it may fall to exactly where it was when he started, believe it or not, 3 years ago. Now, we know why. He's got a good explanation why, but it's not going to matter. If, in fact, this market ends up at 18, 19 where it was, how devastating will that be for Trump in terms of reelection?
It'll hurt him, particularly among independents who, you know, might say, well, let's give the other party a chance. But he's lucky in the sense that it happened now. If this had happened in September and you had this turbulence going into the voting booth, then it would have been much, much worse for Donald Trump. So if my scenario comes to be that the virus declines, all right, you can't believe anything out of China. They lie to you all day long. But they're saying that in China it's starting to decline. All right, warmer weather is not favorable to the coronavirus. So let's say I'm right and it declines. So then you'll see a surge in the stock market because people buy stocks 2-3 quarters out. And if they feel that the threat's no longer there and they can get bargains, which you'll absolutely be able to get, so there'll be a surge. And then when October rolls around, it'll be up in, you know, into a decent territory, and then it won't be that much of a factor. But if there is a severe recession and people are losing jobs and the stock market is nowhere, that's going to hurt Donald Trump. No
that's doubt. True. The underlying economy is still strong at this point. And historically, these various virus-induced market declines, they do result in recoveries that are oftentimes steep and sharp. But, Bill O'Reilly, I have to segue to politics, hardcore politics. I love your message of the day about Joe Biden. It's very good. I mean, Joe Biden, to me, I can't stand the guy, but your message of the day is so true, so hits home. Tell us about that.
Well, you've got to look at what's happening in the Democratic Party apart from Joe Biden to understand Joe Biden. So the Democrats, they know that Biden's on the downside, and everybody knows it. So they're basically saying to the American people, look, this guy, if we elect him president, he's really not going to run the country, and he won't. He'll bring in a whole bunch of guys that work for President Obama, and it'll be a consensus situation. All right, now, as a voter, you should know that. So you're not getting a guy like Trump who calls his own shots. You're getting a guy who's going to sit there at a table, and he's going to have 10 other people there, and they're going to go, well, maybe we'll do this, let's take a vote, and then the consensus will come out, and that's how he'll govern.
Weekend at Biden's.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, and this will be very interesting, on Sunday night they're going to have a debate in Arizona with no spectators, just the ineffective moderators who aren't going to do anything. All right, Bernie Sanders has been told, and I know this to be true, he's been told by very high-ranking members of the Democratic Party, do not destroy Joe Biden. We know you could do it because you're more glib than he is. You could go after him. You could carve him up on Hunter. You could do a number of things. Do not do it. And if you do, you're going to be a pariah, word of the day, in the Democratic Party. So I don't believe that Bernie Sanders will carve him up. what he'll do is say, Joe was made a mistake here, Joe made a mistake there, Joe is this, but he's not going to do the personal stuff. He's not going to get into the constant befuddlement of Mr. Biden. He's not going to do any of that. So Biden won't get hurt too badly on Sunday night.
Unless he does it to himself.
Right, exactly.
But you got to understand that Biden, he's not going to be asked any difficult questions.
Right.
All right, this is a scandal. So the press is supposed to be looking out for the folks. They're supposed to be saying, well, look, I'm going to ask the hard... When I did an interview with a president or anybody who was powerful, I spent hours thinking about the most difficult questions I could ask. And Joe Biden would never talk to me, never in his life. And I know him from decades. Obama did 3 times, and all the other presidents did. Hillary Clinton did. But he would never do it because he knew he couldn't answer the questions. He could not answer them. And he knew I wasn't going to let him off the hook, that if he didn't answer them, I'd say, hey, Mr. Vice President, you didn't answer the question. You want to give it another go? Because that's what I did. But now you don't have any of that because these moderators are being told, you ask this is how you do it, this is what the company would like to see happen, and they do it. Because if they don't, they're not in the company. That's what's happening, and it's just awful.
Disgrace.
No, it's terrible. Listen, on the way out, about 60 seconds, Bill, we'll go where we started here, of course, canceling the NBA season, suspending it, I should say. No St. Patrick's Day parade. I mean, all kinds of stuff is being canceled. And we all know, of course, that the biggest petri dish in the city for this virus are the subways, which I take 3 or 4 times every single day. Do you think we'll ever get to the point where they'll shut down that?
It could happen. See, what I'm trying and hoping for is that people are going to be so aware that even though they use the subway, when they get out of the subway, they're going to wash their hands immediately or use a sanitizer, whatever they're doing. And the awareness is going to make this thing subside. But it's possible. However, it didn't happen in Japan. They aren't doing it there. So that's if you want to shut down the entire country, you're going to have a real, real problem here. And that's why I think all of these aggressive things now are worthy, so we don't get to that point.
Nobody better than Bill O'Reilly. Go to BillO'Reilly.com. And again, pre-order Killing Crazy Horse at BillO'Reilly.com. Bill, thank you so much.
Okay,
as usual.
Guys.
Great
we'll
job, Bill.
Next week.
Right, see you at the gym.
Be well.
Yeah, there you go. Bye.
On the Bernie and Sid Show. We'll come on. Well, see you later.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on the 77 WABC app. That was... of course, ladies and gentlemen, Forrest Gump, Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is now afflicted. He's come down with a case of the coronavirus.
Gary.
He was taping, and you, I'm sure you heard this, a movie about Elvis Presley. He was going to play Colonel Tom Parker. I'm going to tell you something that you didn't hear when you heard this report in a second, but him and his wife, Rita Wilson, now have the coronavirus. And they're stuck in Australia. I guess they got a self-quarantine. He put out a statement. We're going to take it one day at a time. What else are we going to do? He sounded a little down. But this is what you didn't hear from wherever you heard the report that Tom Hanks had the coronavirus. He is a diabetic. He is a type 2 diabetic, which is one of the 4 high-risk factors for coronavirus. You have respiratory ailments, heart ailments, and diabetes. Those are the 3 high risk factors, also age. And he is a type 2 diabetic. Now, we have heard nothing more on that, but that's an interesting factoid that has been omitted. About 2 years ago, he was diagnosed as being a diabetic. I remember it clearly, but apparently everybody else has forgotten. He's not fat or anything, but I guess he's a little chubby, and he likes the sugar.
Yeah, I remember when he got so skinny for Castaway and
for
Philadelphia.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. And then he recovered. He made up for lost time.
Yeah.
So we have all the audio from yesterday, the reaction to the president's speech, and all kinds of things. Harvey Weinstein got 23 years. Arthur Idala was complaining that, my God, why are they picking on Harvey? On the Bernie and Sid Show.
Age-old question. This is such a great song right now, Van Halen. You know, I say it's an age-old question, but everybody answers it the same. Everybody I know, at least. Everybody I know. Very anecdotal, I know. But Sammy Hagar with Van Halen or David Lee Roth with Van Halen. By the way, this one would be Sammy Hagar. Right now. Right now, meanie. All right, Chili. Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, or David Lee Roth, Van Halen?
I would say David Lee Roth, but I do like this song.
Agreed on both of those. Meanie, Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, or David Lee Roth?
You go David Lee Roth.
All right, Bernard?
I would go with David Lee Roth.
Yeah, that's the answer. No, you know, David Lee Roth, though, but, you know, I feel bad for the bastard. He was great with this band. He really was.
Horrible radio host.
Why you got to call him names?
No, well, that's what I was just going to say. When Howard Stern left K-Rock, and it was such a shock, and oh, my God, what are they going to do with K-Rock? They put David Lee Roth on.
Oh.
And I'll never forget the very, very first show, Mark Tronick was pulling his hair out. He put on his uncle. And his uncle was like a war hero. God bless him. God bless the guy, a legitimate war hero. But he was really old and really slow. And it was like an hour conversation. And I remember Mark Tronick was ready to kill himself. Because I think he actually picked, he was one of the guys that picked David Lee Roth.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, that was a, to say it was a disaster would be an understatement. I will say this. I'm going to enjoy the other local stations around town. They're going to have a tough time. Sanjay Gupta will join us at 9:40. I thought it was 9:05.
I'm waiting. I'm saying, why is Sid talking about Van Halen?
Yeah, no, 9:40.
I thought Van Dr. Gupta was on the phone right now.
No, he's on at 9:40. That's why I did. That's why we're talking. But
Okay,
he's very busy. He's all over TV. I mean, listen, I got to tell you this. Who do you want to talk to today? You want to talk to him or Dr. Oz, we had on this week as well, or my friend Nicole Sapphire, who's on Fox News
she
all day.
She is excellent.
She's great.
She is really my friend.
She actually, when I kept asking somebody to help me out with my eye, which is almost better, she's the one who got me to see somebody at Sloan Kettering. And I've asked her a couple times to come on the show. She's on Fox News. Bernie just said she's great. He loves her. She's actually been told by Sloan Kettering no, she said, but she has a new book coming out, Bernie, in April. And she does want to promote the book on our show. So she will come in. She'll come into the studio, Nicole Sapphire. So that's who you want to talk to, one of these folks, because that's the story we're all talking about today. That's it, right? I mean, Dr. Raj, Nicole Sapphire, or Sanjay Gupta, and we've got Gupta today.
That's what everybody's talking about, of course. I mean, who would have thought that the day after Harvey Weinstein gets sentenced to 23 years, nobody cares? Nobody just, you know, stick him in a cell. And,
except Arthur.
I think Artie Idala cares.
I know Arthur cares because he was getting paid by the guy, obviously. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Arthur was outside the courthouse after the sentencing yesterday. He was complaining that the sentence was too harsh.
Oh,
and God bless him, he's getting paid to do that. So let's listen to what he said.
If I was here selling you he got 8 years or 9 years or 10 years, I wouldn't have had a wine. I'd say, look, the judge sentenced him. The jury's verdict is what it is. We respect the jury's verdict. We're going to appeal it, but we respect it. But if everyone else, I'm not giving you my made-up numbers. This is New York State gave us the statistics. On this charge, it's 8 years. People with heavy criminal records get 8 years. The judge did not articulate why Harvey Weinstein is getting three times that, not double. He didn't go from 8 to 16. He basically went almost from 8 to 24.
Now who's grunting in the background? Who's that?
That was apparently not outside the courthouse. That was on the Today Show.
Yes, that's
correct?
NBC.
Yes, he was still outside.
Either way, he said the same thing outside the courthouse. But Arthur actually has a good point here.
No, he does.
I mean, it's what's happening is this is the similar to the OJ sentencing and arrest, is that they're punishing him for past crimes that he didn't get arrested for and convicted for. In my opinion, that's what they're doing. That's what the judge is doing, handing down a harsh sentence to compensate, because there are dozens, maybe 100 women out there who have made accusations, and the statute of limitations has expired, and so this is the judge's way of atoning. I don't think that's probably not right.
I don't care, God, who cares? You're right, it's not right. And Donna said the same thing. The other, what is it, Donna Ratona, the other attorney? She said murderers get less time than, and she's right. But
I think that's what's happening here. So anyway, yes, the day after Harvey Weinstein gets sentenced to 23 years, nobody gives a rat's butt. And, of course, you have the presidential race still going on the Democrat side, and nobody really cares. Bernie Sanders came out yesterday. And he says, I'm staying in. Donald Trump is a pathological liar, and he's a racist, and he's corrupt. I mean,
unless he has corona. Wasn't it
Joe Biden that said that? He was arrested in South Africa.
He did say that, Joe
Biden.
Did
he say that like three times and three different occasions at least?
He's lied like 100 times.
Did he say that he got a degree? He got 3 degrees from Harvard, and he graduated at the top of his class, and that wasn't true.
No, he didn't.
Liar.
He lied about all that stuff.
So if Bernie... Big Mouth Bernie, creepy old Bernie, who wrote about women having rape fantasies.
Right. So specifically, they like to be raped by three men is what he wrote.
And of course, as Bill O'Reilly pointed out, they'll never ask him about it. He wrote about that when he was in his 30s. He was 31 years old.
Well, actually, Bloomberg was set to ask him about it.
All right. But either way, so Big Mouth Bernie, he's talking about pathological liars and corruption. He's going to go up against the guy, and he's not going to bring up either one of those two things to this guy.
No, he's not.
They're all phonies, they're fakes, and they're low life.
And Bill makes the point, you know, why would anybody watch him? And listen, this is our job. At the end of the day, this is our job. We cover this stuff. If I wasn't working in this position with you, which I love it to death, I would very rarely, if ever, mention Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden during my lifetime. Somebody's got to run against Trump, and I guess I would watch every now and then, and... But I got to tell you, in this thing with the corona, I don't care what they say. Like, I'm not, and I know it's important. We need to talk about it. We need to, you know, differentiate between Trump and who's running against him. I don't care. Like, I'm watching what's getting canceled today. Every single day, stuff is getting canceled. The NBA yesterday, St. Patrick's Day yesterday. Even in my own life, I got two kids who go to school. I don't care what Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders say.
That's the difference between you and me. I can multitask.
Yeah.
I can actually stay interested and keep my eye on other things, like lowlifes like Bernie Sanders. And sniping punks like Schumer and Pelosi.
But the problem is for me, this is not you, this is for me. I need some unpredictability. There's no shock and awe when Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders goes at Trump. It's every day. It's the same thing. Just like you said, or Roddy said, no matter what Donald Trump said last night, they were going to kill him. So there's no shock and awe. There's no, oh my God. Nobody's flabbergasted anymore. They're not. It's like, okay, that's what I expect. Don't watch it. That's what they would tell you. Now, you have to watch it. That's our business. And it is our job to go tell people what's going on every day. But nobody's in shock and awe, like, oh, my God. They're not.
No, but they are angry.
Well, good. Then go on November and vote for Donald Trump.
So, you know, when you hear that, when the president does a speech calling for calm and unity in the middle of a public safety crisis, and these people come out and they try to politicize it, it makes people angry. It makes them mad. I mean, where is the concern about the people's health? That is all coronavirus related. It is related.
No, you're right.
And
that's why
we can't come together. I mean, we will make the crisis worse.
It is
indeed related.
Gotcha. Well, let's do this. We've got the mayor, Bill de Blasio. We've got two separate things here, right? Don't we have the one from earlier today?
Broadway, yes.
All right. So we have him talking about Broadway. That was courtesy of CNN. Is this also CNN?
These are both, yes.
All right. He's talking about the possibility of the subways being shut down, which, of course, would basically kill us. So, although not really, we found out. So, all right. So Bill de Blasio talking first about Broadway and then Bill de Blasio about the possibility of closing down the subways, courtesy of CNN.
Today and tomorrow, we'll put out guidance. I don't want to see Broadway go dark if we can avoid it. I want to see if we can strike some kind of balance. If we cannot strike that balance, of course you can go to closure, and that's the decision we'll be making right away. We're not going to shut down a subway system. That if you shut down a subway system, then you're shutting down the economy and you're shutting down work and livelihood. I'm worried, John, about people who have no money. Sure. I am worried about people can't afford the rent or medicines or food. We have to strike the balance.
So that's the case when you shut down the NBA.
Right.
That's the case when you shut down Broadway shows or
right.
when you shut down, you know, St. Patrick's Day Parade. People are losing money. It's all revenue is behind all of these things.
But not in the numbers, of course, to his point. Not in the numbers. If you shut down the subway, you just shut
down
the arteries of the city.
The principle is the same.
The principle is the same, yes.
You know, so if you do one, I mean, you take it to its logical extreme, you do the other, if you're going to be consistent.
So, in other words, have the parade. Let the NBA continue, you know, and then we'll see what happens. I don't know. I mean, how can you do one and not the other? I just, it's inconsistent.
I agree. Josh Hogenbaum checks in. Heshy's son, he says, to your point, Sid, every time Joe Biden speaks, there is shock and awe over his stupidity.
That's right. Very good, Josh. I appreciate that.
All right, we'll take a short.
That's a lot of malarkey.
Sanjay Gupta is going to join us. Here's a dollar. And also, again, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you have any questions that you'd like Bernie and I to pose to Gupta, something personal maybe in your life, feel free to call us, and we will try to get it all in with Sanjay coming up in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, Toby Keith.
Hey, big boss man, he likes to crack that whip. Ain't nothing but a number on his time card slip.
Anyway, Toby Keith, he's got a tour. It's called Country Comes to Town. And it's coming to the Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on June 6th. Toby Keith with special guest Clay Walker.
Yeah, all week long I'm a real nobody, and I just got down at his paycheck for riding.
Tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com.
And be somebody.
You know, when you do that, it's funny. You know what it reminds me of? Remember one time I was doing my show down in WNEW.
Can I
New
just
York.
Say that we're going to give away a pair of tickets? Call right now, 212-268-WABC, Bernie and Sid. And don't forget, Toby Keith, Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on June 6th, LiveNation.com. Go ahead, Sid.
So when I was at NEW, I was screaming the Giants were in the Super Bowl. And you remember this, Bernie, because you were so funny with this. So I was on the air. I think it was with Craig Carton, I think, at the time, was my partner. And I'm screaming, roll down your windows if you're on the Verrazano Bridge, if you're on the Belt Parkway, if you're on the Cross Bronx, if you're on the Major Deegan, roll down those windows and scream, let's go Giants! So I come to work with you and I-Man, you know, back at FAN, and you guys played that when I first joined you.
Mocking you?
Yes, I was just like, this is what this guy was doing before he came on with us.
Sports guys.
And he said, If you wanted so much to people to yell at all these, why don't you just become a traffic guy? I mean, you're talking about the Major League.
On FDR!
So every time you sing, it occurs to me that there was a time in your life, Bernie, I want to be a center fielder for the Mets or the quarterback for the Giants. You clearly, as a child, wanted to be a country music star. It's clear.
Country music?
Well, any type of music.
No,
rock and roll.
I didn't get into that country stuff until...
Later. Rock and roll something. You wanted to be a music star.
No, look, everybody has that in them. That's why they have karaoke bars. People like to scream.
They don't have them anymore. They're Asian.
It's
Corona.
It could be hazardous. Or maybe not. But you sing in the car, you scream out loud. I mean, you could be, you know, it's enjoyable guilty pleasure.
It's a display of happiness.
That's right. People who sing out loud are happy people.
Well, I used to go to this place, Captain Walters in Sheepshead Bay. I don't even want to get to your stuff. And every Thursday night was karaoke. I'm talking about when I first got married, 1992. And I would get hammered and sing all night long. One night, long story short, Danielle and I have a fight. We're married 1 year. It's 1993. We're living in Brooklyn. And I run out of the house. I'm like, F you, I'm leaving. She can't find me, okay? So she knows, though, it's Thursday night, that eventually I'll be at Captain Walters in Sheepshead Bay. So about 1 o'clock in the morning, she calls the bar. And she says, because we were there all the time, they knew it was personally. She goes, any chance my husband is there? And the bartender took the phone and put it up and said, oh, yeah, take a listen. He's singing Summer Wind right now.
So there you go.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, I loved the character.
You have it in you as well.
Yes, I do.
We all do. Look, it's fun. And speaking of fun, look, they did close down schools, CUNY and SUNY. They told the kids to pack up and get the hell off campus, believe it or not. And the Blasio just announced two schools are closing. One of them is South Bronx Prep.
Oh.
And another one is, what is the other one, Jill? Do you know?
I got out of the Twitter.
Whatever.
Talking about prep, the school I went to with both Joe Tacopina and Arthur Idala, Poly Prep, has now been closed.
Wow. Somebody Poly. Tested positive in South Bronx Prep and the other one, and I guess Poly Prep. But somebody who grew up in the South Bronx, her name is Cardi B. And she's very, very upset. She's scared. She's like everybody else. She's believing she's buying into the fake news, fear-mongering, you know. And what I say, of course, is be mature. Just be prudent. Wash your hands. You know, just stock up on food. Practice social distancing. Be smart. The government can't do everything for you. It's going to be fine. If you get the virus, you're going to get better. Anyway, that's what I say. But this is what Cardi B says.
Government, let me tell you something. I don't know what the this coronavirus is about. I don't understand how that was from Wuhan, China. Now all of a sudden, this is a motherfucking tour. And let me tell you something. I ain't going front. A bitch is scared. I'm a little scared, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit got me panicking. And a lot of you motherfuckers think it's a joke, like I was thinking, right? But that shit right there, just because you think you are immune to it, guess what? Your pocket ain't, bitch, because a lot of shit is from motherfucking China, bitch. So if you wonder where your motherfucking weave or your fashion over motherfucking packages have arrived, guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! Coronavirus! I'm telling you, shit is real! Shit is getting real!
She cracks me up.
She gave us the Howard Dean woo at the very end.
And by the way, what did she say?
Nobody knows.
She said coronavirus.
No. She just curses.
That's all I heard. But what was she trying? What message was she trying to convey?
She's very upset that her packages may not get there on time, and
she's on tour too, I believe. And she's like, it's.
She said
it's
this shizzle is getting real.
That's the opposite of what I just said. Be mature.
Right.
Be prudent. That's and just relax.
She's a lowlife, let's be honest.
She really is.
She's
disgusting. She's disgusting.
She is probably, she's got more viruses in her.
Oh, no question.
The coronavirus is the least of her worries when it comes to infections.
But you know what annoys me? Is we play that, and it's just curse-laden and stupid. She's stupid. She really is. And she's making millions of dollars. I mean, she's not doing okay for herself, Bernie. She's making millions.
Oh, I know. And by the way, she's furious. She's angry.
She's always angry.
Yeah. I mean,
even at award shows, she gets angry.
Right. Instead of kissing the ground she walks on,
right,
saying, thank God in this great country I can rise to these levels being as stupid as I am. She's angry.
Yeah bitch.
And by the way, that reminds me, too. I mean, a few months ago, before the coronavirus hit, a couple of months ago, I mean, everybody was angry, and nobody was on the verge of dying. There was no pandemic. There was no epidemic. There was no fear or none of that, of health fears. But everybody was still angry. We had peace and prosperity, but everybody was still pissed off.
Not just everybody. People like LeBron James living a charmed life worth $1 billion. Like, you got nothing to be angry about,
and this
LeBron.
And this maybe is a good perspective check. Exactly.
Maybe. You're
everybody,
right.
Everybody, we got food, we got travel, we got the best civilization, I mean the best living conditions in the history of civilization, and now we have this disease, and maybe it'll put everything into perspective when this disease blows over.
Right, well, when will it blow over, and what can we expect the next month? All these questions still to be answered. We got the best guy to answer them. Dr. Sanjay Gupta from CNN is coming up with Bernie and Sid.
Bernie and Sid with a New York attitude. Entertaining and...
Alright, been waiting this all morning long. Bill O'Reilly was terrific. Of course he was. He was great. And who else was on? Donahue was great too. But we were waiting for this all morning. Sanjay Gupta, the great doctor, CNN. I actually watched him at 9 o'clock when Bernie and I were on break a little bit on TV. He comes on with us all the time. He's very, very sweet. And here he is, the great doctor himself, Sanjay Gupta. Good morning, Dr.
Hello,
Doctor.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
We're doing great. We love having you on. You're terrific. And right now you are the guy. We said this morning, I mean, you're the guy everybody wants to talk to. Let me start with this. I'm a big sports fan. I'm a Knicks fan, so it doesn't matter. We're not going to make the playoffs anyway. But the NBA suspending the season and maybe even canceling the season. A lot of my friends who are sports enthusiasts think this is an overreaction after they found out one player in the Utah Jazz, Rudy Gobert, actually has the coronavirus. Is this an overreaction or something the NBA had to do?
Tough call, but I think the right call. I mean, you know, and I'm a basketball fan as well. I think these are the real challenges people are going to be faced with. Some of this obviously is, you know, even before, you know, the season was suspended, you know, talking about the fans and fans not being able to actually protect themselves at these games because you can't keep enough distance and the risk of spreading this is higher in those situations. But look, you know, I think there's going to be other players, sadly, who are going to test positive. Thankfully, hopefully, they're not going to get sick, that sick at least, but it's going to happen, and not just in basketball. And so I think we're going through a very, very, a tough time right now. It's not going to be forever by any means, but there are things that we can do to best protect each other, and we got to do those things.
So, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, in the light of that, Sid mentioned suspending the NBA season. They're canceling parades all over the place, the St. Patrick's Day parade here in New York City and other large public gatherings. Now, the president last night took a measure. He had banned travel from China, now from Europe. Is that the right move?
Well, you know, I will say that when I've been reporting on this for 2 months now, you know, so I feel like I'm so in this. I've looked at every minutia of data that's coming out of China and really trying to piece this together. It's happening real time. So here's what I would say is that what happened out of China when that plane came in from Wuhan, you may remember 195 people. They went immediately to that airbase in California and they were in quarantine for 14 days. People may not realize that, but that was a big deal. First time it happened in this country, you know, in 60 years since really smallpox. So that was a major move. And early on in an outbreak, what is now a pandemic, those can be very effective. I think the issue now is, we know the virus is spreading in the United States. We know that it's spreading in many communities. You obviously mentioned in New York, in New Rochelle, but that's just because we've done more testing in those areas. My guess is cities, especially cities that have a lot big international airports, we're seeing this happening. So does the travel ban make sense now? That's the question. And I think you'd have a harder time justifying it. I mean, it's like one of those things where, you know, you got to do everything you can to try and keep people safe. But everything's a risk-reward relationship. It's very disruptive, obviously. And you know, is the sort of mitigation of spread enough to warrant it? It's again a very tough call, but I think that one's a little bit harder to justify just because the data doesn't necessarily support it.
Okay, fair enough. I think that you know, he has to do something or he's going to be called to the carpet, and I'd rather see him err on the side of caution. And to me, his choice last night is very similar, in fact, to suspending the NBA season or those things. So I actually give the president credit. Let's move on to the parades and these other issues. Bill de Blasio said a couple of days ago, listen, the mayor of New York City, if it's not a breezy day and it's not really airborne and, you know, we can do it. And then it didn't take an hour. They canceled the parade. And now we're hearing that it is airborne. And, you know, if somebody sneezes, it sticks around for like 3 hours. What is the truth about outdoor events and the likelihood of getting sick in those?
Yeah, I think listened to the mayor's remarks and also Governor Cuomo's remarks on this. I think, you know, that what they're saying is that is true. I mean, let me just distinguish a little bit. Airborne, such as measles, what that often means is that the viral particles will get suspended in the air. They actually will cling to particles of dust and they can stay there. And then people who are not protected will come and breathe that in. Here, the respiratory droplets are really the way this virus spreads. Now, they also go through the air, but then they kind of go to the ground, which is why surfaces and those sorts of things are important. So that's why they say if you're within 6 feet of somebody who is sick, who's coughing and sneezing in particular, those are the people most likely to spread it, although people who don't have much in the way of symptoms can also spread it. The people most likely to spread it are the ones that are obviously coughing and sneezing. Problem is in an area, in a situation where you're going to cluster lots of people together very tightly, you can't keep the social distance, and one person gets sick, and here's what happens. If one person is sick and tests positive, first of all, other people around that person can get sick. But then you have to contact trace. You have to say, okay, now that we know you're positive, let's go back and try and recreate your life. Let's figure out all the people that you were within 2 meters of over the last, you know, period of time. Really challenging when you start to think about things like parades and mass gatherings. So it's not just about getting sick. It's about all the things that have to go into place if one person is subsequently found to test positive. And then, like, you know, New York City, St. Patrick's Day parade, things like that, people come from all over the country. And then they go back to their home. And if they have the virus, it just becomes a really enormous public health challenge.
It almost, I hate to say it, Dr. Goop, it sounds like you agree. That's analogous to the travel ban, I mean, from Europe. But I don't know if you can square the two. I mean, it sounds like it's consistent with the travel ban, with what you just said about parades.
Well, I think the thing about the travel ban is, like, you look at these countries in Europe and you say, okay, well, is the virus spreading more there than here? And some of these countries, Italy, it seems to be, but I'm not sure all the countries can make that case.
Angela Merkel said 70% of the Germans are going to get it. Yeah, Angela Merkel said that.
Are going to get it. And look, they say that 40 to 60% of people in the United States will ultimately be exposed to this virus as well. So, you know, it is a contagious virus. It is spreading. But look, you know, in China right now, they're now looking at putting travel restrictions on people coming to China from other countries because they feel like they finally got it under control. And there are other countries that are a bigger threat. This public health officials will debate this point. And let me say this as well, because one of the biggest disruptions when it comes to these measures is schools, school closings, right? I mean, it's challenging. My wife got a call yesterday, 2 days ago now, that our kids are going to be out of school for a period of time. Big challenge. Most of the benefit of school closings in terms of how much of an impact it would have were really based on the flu models. And there's a little bit of a difference with this virus compared to flu. With flu, you know, kids were getting sick, kids were developing symptoms, and kids were clearly spreading the virus. With coronavirus, for whatever reason, and we're not entirely sure why yet, kids lot less likely to get sick, and therefore less likely to spread. So I think it makes it harder, again, to justify these school closings. I don't relish these decisions that have to get made. They're challenging decisions. Sure. But everything in life is a risk-reward proposition.
Right.
Is it worth the significant disruption for you know, uneven or incomplete data, you know, incomplete justification here?
All right. Well, the schools, I'm with you, too. My son is 11, and they're going to close it. He was going on spring break Monday anyway, but they're going to shut that down, which brings me to my next question about my son. He's got some respiratory issues. He takes Singulair every night before he goes to bed. He's an asthmatic. And, yes, children are not getting this, and children, thank God, aren't dying from this, but we are scared to death because he does have some respiratory issues, even though he's only 11 years old. And the second part of the question is, what about mutation? Can this thing mutate and actually start to affect different age groups by the time it's all said and done?
Yeah, sure. Well, so with regard to your son, and, you know, I'm glad you're thinking about this way, and obviously I think a lot of people hear you describe this and they think, that's my story. That's my situation as well. You know, I mean, that's what I've been hearing. I think you got to be really careful right now, and I don't think it's, again, going to be forever, but people with respiratory issues do tend to be more at risk. Kids protected, but if you have an underlying illness, then you are more at risk. Overall, I think your son is statistically likely to be just fine. I mean, even if he were to be exposed to the virus statistically, he would still be just fine. But I think it just becomes a question, like if it were me, okay? A lot of people say, Doc, if it were you in the end, with all the incomplete data and incomplete knowledge that we have right now, what would you do? I would do everything I can to keep my son safe, which means not putting my son in situations of mass gatherings where somebody that I don't know or somebody who might have symptoms but is still decided to come out might spread that virus to my son. I would make sure that, I myself, even though I'm not sick, could I be a carrier, I'd be very careful as how I interact with my son for a period of time. I'm not saying you need to wear gloves to touch your son and stuff like that, but you do need to be very, very judicious about hand washing and things like that. So it's judgment right now. The way that I really have approached this was saying, right now, I don't think I've been in a situation reporting on things like this for 20 years where you are as dependent, your health is as dependent on how I behave as ever before. My health is so dependent on how you behave and how the people around me behave. We all really do have to take care of each other, especially when it comes to our families, because we have the most contact with our families.
Absolutely right. Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the Bernie and Sid Show. Doctor, two quick questions I'll ask you. How long does this virus survive on a surface? I heard up to 3 hours. And the second part of the question, will warm weather stop the coronavirus?
Yeah, big questions. And I think as far as surfaces go, look, there's been data that it can survive even longer than that on certain surfaces. Not porous surfaces like cardboard, but on glass and metal and things like that.
No kidding.
There's some studies that said it could even last days. It may not be pathogenic, meaning that the virus may not be able to necessarily cause disease after a certain amount of time, but it's there, which makes the case we just got to be, you know, we got to be disinfecting regularly, you know. So I carry wipes, you know, and I mean, I used to be that crazy person carrying wipes, and everyone seems to be carrying wipes. And I think you just disinfect the surfaces. I'm still traveling. I'll be on a plane tomorrow. I'll disinfect the areas around me. And I think that's a really effective strategy. I think your second question was about the warmer weather. I think there's a good likelihood of this, that as the weather gets warmer, we are going to see a decrease in cases. The president has talked about that, and there's evidence of that because there's other coronaviruses. Like if you look at SARS back 2002, 2003, people may not even remember 17, 18 years ago. But the peak of that, I went back and looked at the data, was in March, late March, early April. And it was right around the time weather started to be getting warmer. Lots of things happening at that point. We were getting better about understanding how the virus was behaving and protecting ourselves. But I think the weather had a lot to do with it. And if you look at a map of the world right now, the vast majority of the cases are in the northern hemisphere of the world where the weather is cooler. The virus likes cooler weather.
Yeah,
and people
yeah.
tend to cluster in cooler weather, so it spreads more. Warmer weather, it may go down. There are cases in the southern hemisphere, including, you may have heard this morning, Tom Hanks and his wife Rita have it in Australia, but they may have gotten it somewhere else and then traveled there. Most of the cases in the southern hemisphere are travel-related cases.
40 seconds to go, Dr. Sanjay Gupta. If Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, called you and said, listen, before I play a Met game in Queens or a Yankee game in the Bronx, should I at least, at the very least, delay the start of the season? What would your answer to Manfred be?
Again, these are really tough calls. I think that given that the evidence that this may change and it may change in a positive way, you know, the numbers may start to go down, that could be a good strategy. I also think that over this next week, as the testing in the country does really ramp up and come online with the commercial vendors like Quest and LabCorp and like that, we're going to have much better eyes on exactly what we're dealing with. I think that's been one of the challenges here is we haven't known exactly how widespread this is. I think we're about to get a clearer look. It's interesting to hear how people at the CDC sort of describe this. You know, we need eyes on this. You know, it's almost like a hunt, and we're in the midst of that right now. But I think we're going to know a lot more in the next few days.
Indeed. Well, listen, Dr. Gupta, just by way of an aside, Tom Hanks was diagnosed as a diabetic a couple of years ago, which is a high risk factor, as you know. But that's we don't have time to expand on it. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But that's love having you on, Dr. Gupta, on the Bernie and Sid Show. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime, guys. I appreciate the conversation.
You did a great job. Great job, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN, right here on Bernie and Sid.
And WABC.
So much going on, folks, obviously, between the coronavirus and the politics. The debate coming up on Sunday night, the next big night, Tuesday. Arizona, Illinois, Ohio, Florida, I should say, some of the big states in play. And that'll be over for Bernie Sanders officially by Wednesday morning. But we covered it all, folks. I mean, from Bill Donahue talking about the St. Patrick's Day parade cancellation to Bill O'Reilly talking about the virus and the politics to Dr. Sanjay Gupta talking about the virus.
You know it, Sidney. Everything. If you wanted to learn something this morning, Bernie and Sid was the place to be. We were all over it. The reaction, the president's speech, the reaction to it. And, of course, with Dr. Gupta, I mean, everything you need to know about the coronavirus and his perspective. Which is very, I love Dr. Gupta.
Yeah,
I really do.
He's very, very good. And I would, you know, you listen, guys, every day, it's been at least, something else gets canceled, something changes. So I'm sure that tomorrow.